The Federal Communications Commission has determined the following content to be emotionally harmful.
Funny things that you think funny aren't funny.
Give me cocks all the time. I want cocks all over me.
The Alan Cox Show kicks ass, man.
Welcome.
Show me what you got.
You're not going to see a lot of cocks on TV.
Alan Cox from the Alan Cox Show.
I don't know what it's about you, but I can't even stand your voice.
You know when he's Mr. Tough Guy when he's standing behind the microphone?
I think you're going to be a dick. So alive.
It's going to be a great show.
Let's kick it. I'll say kick it, and you'll just kick it with a tasty groove, okay? One, two, three, kick it. Kick it, come on. God damn it. Could you one time kick it? What the?
Alan Cox.
Here we go. He'll ad-lib. He'll be fine.
It's the Alan Cox Show on 100.7 WMMS.
Everybody, good afternoon. Greetings. Hi there. Hi there. How are you? Good? Mr. and Mrs. America from high atop the iHeartMedia broadcast compound in beautiful Independence, OH, the crown jewel of the aforementioned broadcast empire, WMMS Cleveland. My name is Alan Cox. Thanks for showing up. Say hi to Bill Squire, who's right over there.
Creepy hugs, everyone. Thanks for listening.
Yeah, we can't seem to get the video situation squared away here in the building.
I have submitted a trouble ticket, and they are working on it. But
did you say, we got some trouble?
Yeah.
Right here in River City.
Yeah. I got a ticket for trouble.
That's right.
So, yeah. So the Wi-Fi isn't up to snuff right now. It's happened before. It'll probably happen again.
It's that goddamn coronavirus.
Yeah, that's right.
It's infecting everything.
Mm-hmm.
Well, anyway. Hey, there's Mary Santora right there. She's a cure for whatever blues you got.
Yeah. Hi, guys. No babies.
And say hi to Poundcake, who's back behind the glass.
Afternoon, white people.
You got it. Who texted me about... Was it you that texted me? Yeah, you did. You texted all of us.
About what?
Fruition. Somebody said fruition.
It was on The Bachelor.
The Bachelor.
That's why I was all worked up about it. The chick was like, she was something about being in love, I don't know. And then she was like, I hope that all comes to fruition for you. And I was like, I lost it. My mom and my sister was like, that's a Poundcake word.
Yeah, instead of fruition, he says fruition.
She legitimately said fruition.
Boy, you're in good company, Cody, aren't you? You and The Bachelorettes. Isn't that great?
Poundcake would be great on that show.
Yeah. On which show?
Bachelor.
Bachelor.
As one of the daters or the Bachelor?
You mean as either Bachelor? One. He'd be great either way.
No, I've always heard that I would be good at like Big Brother or something like that because I'm a good manipulator. I create chaos and controversy. And, of course, the camera loves me. So
obviously.
So, yeah, I would totally do Big Brother. Erica talked to
whom do you manipulate?
Oh, I would manipulate my housemates.
Do you do that now?
No, because I'm not on reality TV. But if I knew I had cameras on me 24/7...
Wait, all someone would have to do for you to manipulate your roommates and friends is to put a camera on you.
Yes, if it was for a TV show, but like they put us in unreal...
You know there are cameras on you, I mean, today aside. There are cameras on you every day for 4 hours.
But
and yeah, none of us are being watches it, too.
But none of us are being manipulated by you.
We don't know that.
I'm saying that we have a daily... example,
but it's not the same thing, though.
That's kind of runs counter to your theory
because they put you in an unrealistic situation, and then
what do you think this is?
No, but like
this is everyday life, Alan. We are Mr. and Mrs. America.
This is an unrealistic situation.
They put you in a city where you're not from, where you don't know anybody, and people that you don't know, and then
yeah, but they never let you out of the house. So what does it matter where you? I thought you guys were saying yesterday they don't have to let you out of the house
without getting cleared. So you have cameras on you 24/7, no matter where you go, but you can't just go anywhere.
I feel like we're getting farther and farther away from how do you manipulate people?
Because I would just be doing.
Because if this is true, I will watch this show.
Yeah, no,
he play to win.
I'd play to win. I don't know exactly what the premise of Big Brother is, but I imagine you got to make friends. It's all about alliances and stuff like that. I would pretend that I am friends with this guy, and then I'll be two-faced and be friends with
watch
the girl, actually.
I liked Big Brother with the first couple seasons. I got into that show. They had this guy, Evil Dick.
That's old.
Yeah, it's been on like 15 years now, I think.
I'd pull an Andy King to win if I had to.
That's the water guy, yeah?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah, the new face of Evian, as I understand.
Yep.
Good gig.
I have no problem, you know, signing a document in order to get what I need.
Yeah, but
what about Survivor?
You would also be working with other people that are trying to manipulate you as well. So you have to be aware of that.
Who do you trust?
Yeah. I sign them their documents too.
So you just
would just go around S-ing people's D's. Yeah, that's not manipulation. That's them manipulating you. I hate to very
because they would say,
"Do you understand how S-ing D's works?"
They're like, "There's no way he's doing that to everybody. Like he's
doing better than the rest of us."
They're like, "He's doing it better than like." He's not doing that to Jim, huh. So he must be. He must certainly not to me.
Certainly not doing it to Jenny.
What was his word yesterday?
I had a word yesterday.
It was about real. Like we were talking about The Bachelor.
Authenticality.
Authenticality. That's what I wanted.
Your authenticality is showing through.
Yeah, he's very good at manipulating people's authenticality.
I thought authenticality was a word.
No, you didn't. That's why you really didn't.
No, he did.
No, he didn't. I guarantee
authentically,
he didn't.
Maybe.
I think things come out of his mouth, and he doesn't care if they're words or not. I don't think you thought that was a word.
Because it's what is it?
You certainly didn't think fruition was a word.
I thought I was pronouncing it correctly.
Don't make me run down the glossary, pound cake.
I always love making you do that.
You didn't think that. Oh, these were all words. All right, Warbury. Now, in your defense, somebody threw this at you, but you didn't give it a second thought
because it came from a substitute teacher.
That enough should be a reason for you to Google it and see if it's a word.
We didn't have Google.
You're thinking of authentication, right?
Authenticality is what he said.
Right, but I'm saying like how you have to like sign in and it's like you have to
two-factor authenticality.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Yeah.
Maybe that's why the live stream's not working. Poundcake's our IT guy. Is that what it is? Guys, I can't get this two-factor authenticality to work. Managerial, balsamic, handy-down, reluctant instead of reluctant. I'm very reluctant to do that. He thought Charlie Horse is a trolley horse. Gastronomical. I guess that's when you have a big gut. Coffin skate.
Gastronomical is kind of a great word. I'm going to be honest. I like that one.
Listen, there is nothing.
It sounds like something that would be on a menu. Like, you know what I mean? Like our gastronomical fries.
Yeah,
or
gastronomical nachos.
Yeah, try these tots.
There's also
Gunbusters.
Language is fluid. There's nothing saying that these can't. These might be words
somewhere
by decade's end, right?
Coffin skated.
Coffin skated.
Coffin skated.
Of sound and mind. Conveyor belt. The thing at the grocery store he thought was a conveyor belt. But he's heard all these. He's a nerd.
I know, but they're so funny. I forget them.
I like them because they're so close.
They're so close, but they're so not close.
When you're excited, you yell, "Folly, Ollie, Achen, free."
I lost that glass. Unless someone took it, a customer made me like a water bottle that said "Folly, Ollie, Achen, free" on it. I thought I left it at my sister's house, and she was like, "No, it's not here." I'm wondering if I took it on the road and left it in a hotel or something. But that's breaks my heart.
Housekeeping in Mankato, Minnesota, is walking around with a sweet
"Folly, Achen, free"
bottle. Man, tip of your lips, so the tip of your tongue, or a metronome. He thought a metronome is called a petronome. Explain it to me in language terms.
Did you just turn the
page? Instead of layman's terms. Explain it to me in language terms. What's the hubbubaloo? Was his other, not hullabaloo. What's the hubbubaloo? The word docile. He pronounced as docile.
Do you have my pronunciations in there?
Yes, of course.
So you pronounce it correctly.
Do you think I can remember every way you have specifically slaughtered the English language? No, I have to make myself notes.
These are the ones of note, too.
I would never remember how you slaughtered them. His mindset of thinking is another. Some of these are phrases, some of them are words, you know. And my favorite, of course. Bill, what's my favorite and yours, too? The most recent one? Am I adding authenticality?
I think you need to add authenticality.
Authenticality?
Meteoric?
Nope.
Is that on there?
Meteoric. Nope.
The mediocre meteoric one.
But meteoric is a word. It's just I didn't know what it meant.
You used it wrong.
Well, no, because we said he was having a meteoric rise, and you said them hating bitches. And like,
I thought they were saying he was mediocre.
That's right. That one doesn't really count.
No, the most recent, I don't know if I know it. Can we have a clue? Was I here for this?
I don't know if you were. One fatal swoop.
No, I wasn't.
You were gone for that.
I came back and you guys told me about
it. It was
this.
A sausage party show and he said, one fatal swoop.
One fatal swoop.
Like when a vulture comes and kills you.
It was holiday shopping, right? He was trying to do his holiday shopping in one fatal swoop.
Yes. If you asked me to tell you the context of any of these, I wouldn't be able to tell you.
I can't even tell you.
One fatal swoop. Of course. Yeah, that's why you see why I have to make myself notes. One fatal swoop. That is my favorite.
Why is that your favorite?
Because, it's one fell swoop?
Because here's the thing, too. Because of the girl in The Bachelorette who said fruition.
Yeah.
Right? I assume that a lot of these words he's either heard someone else who slaughters the language or whatever. You know, I don't know how he arrives at them. All I know is he is aspiring to be a professional communicator. In which case you go, well, you got to erase all these from your brain, wherever they're coming from.
But I'm angry because...
I
am angry because on this show is not the first time I've used these words. So people are just walking around thinking I'm completely stupid and didn't bother to correct me.
No, like, they're stupid because they don't know either that you're using incorrect words.
I feel like
it's your bad luck that you ran into me.
They might stop a little bit. They might hear you say something like fruition and be like, is it fruition? And like question themselves, like, have I been saying it wrong this whole time?
No.
Or they think he's confident.
They think he's saying a word that is a word. They've just never heard it. Or they probably think he's smarter than they are.
No. That's what I'm saying. They'll stop and question themselves. Is it fruition?
Well, anyway, whatever. One fatal swoop, authenticality, it's all good.
Bored at work? Try sitting on your hand until it goes numb. That way it feels like someone else betrayed your childhood dreams.
The Alan Cox Show.
Getting you through one day at a time. On 100.7 WMMS.
+35192 if you want to text me. Go to alancoxshow.com, hit the contest tab. Giving away some Rolling Stones tickets there. They're playing June 19th at First Energy Stadium. I will have tickets for you here on the show. I think maybe next week or the week after, but you can get the jump on it at alancoxshow.com. Just hit the contest page there and try to get in on Stones tickets. Foo Fighters tickets for you here for 20 today. And then tomorrow and Friday, they will go on sale Friday morning. Later on, our friend Don Jameson going to be checking in on the phone. He's got a new book we'll talk to him about. He just got off that Monsters of Rock cruise. And what else? Sonic Temple later on, blah, blah, blah. So Bill got his bowl cut, if you haven't seen it happen, the video when Bobby Kelly was here and performed the task, was on Wednesday, where he cut your hair.
Yeah, we're a week in.
Polar blast punishment. You're 1 week in. You're halfway there. Mine is tomorrow morning. I'm having my... we'll film it so we can post it at the website.
So upset I'm gonna miss it.
Mary's out tomorrow, but... I'll be having my eyebrows and my beard dyed jet black.
Are you doing that at Charles Scott?
Charles Scott Salon and Spas, yes, tomorrow morning.
What time?
11 a.m.
Do you need me to film it? Or
Gwen's going to film it.
Okay, great.
Yep, and then I will get that to you. Mm-hmm. I'm curious how it will look.
Awful.
Well, no, because I don't think it's going to be as jet black as I would like it for comedic effect, because my beard is all gray. And gray hair, as we know, or maybe not, it's much more coarse, doesn't hold color as much. It's not as porous.
Well, they're pros over there.
Yeah, I think they know what they're doing.
I'm not saying they don't.
I want it to look like grease paint.
It's not about their skills. It's about the consistency of my beard. So we'll see.
Well, then you sit there for 7 hours if that's what it takes, Alan.
You know what? You're gone tomorrow, I'll be gone.
Boom. The Bill and Pound Cake Show.
There you go. Just go, hey guys, I'm still in the chair. Yeah, Ronnie and Clyde.
Yep.
You guys did a show with just the two of you?
I mean, not on the radio, but like, we've done, like, Facebook Lives and podcasts.
They're Ronnie and Clyde for
Ronnie and Clyde, yeah.
All right. Good for
and you. Then Pound Cake is going to eat his pepper on Friday.
When I come back.
Yeah, his Carolina Reaper pepper, that is his punishment. We're still on for Friday?
Yeah, why wouldn't we?
Okay, I'm just double checking.
Because he had
I'm
concerns.
Just crossing my T's and dotting my T's.
I still have the same concerns. It's not going
to
change the
We'll bring
the
you
date.
A gallon of milk. You drink a little bit before to coat your bell.
And I'm bringing my stuff, too.
And eat your pepper.
My only concern, and I already told you this, was you guys just can't guarantee my safety. And that was the only thing.
Like, yeah, we can.
No, you can't.
No, we can't, and why would we? I'm not here to guarantee your safety.
You're not going
to
die.
Here to do a show. You're a grown-ass man.
That's what he said. You're not going to die.
Okay.
You're going to be uncomfortable. It's going to hurt. That's all.
Why are you so scared of death anyway? I thought you were born again. Religious people love the idea of death.
I wasn't complaining about dying.
You complain about everything else. You think you're going to die. That, to me, seems like a complaint. Hey, I'm worried I might die. Which is an understatement to say that that's an overstatement. I just want to make sure that we're still on board for Friday. Whatever that looks like, I just want to make sure we're still on board for Friday.
Cool.
Friday gets here. Whatever you want to do, you do. So Bill gets his hair cut here on Wednesday.
Mm-hmm.
Thursday goes to get his new driver's license photo taken.
Yeah. That's
right. And then is sick on Friday.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
So there was no follow-up on that. We all got a photo of it, and then you posted it so people saw.
Well, I haven't posted the actual one. You guys have seen the actual one.
Oh, you haven't posted? I thought you did. I thought that was being used in, like, every meme people were sending you now.
That was just a picture of what I wore that day. It's not the actual photo.
Oh.
So next, when I get the... They
have
to mail
the
it
photo?
Out. You guys have seen the photo.
Oh, okay.
but it's also like a black and white photo. So on the actual ID, it'll be in color, and then I'll do a side-by-side with my last license photo, which was in 2016.
When you were skinny, Bill.
When I was at my skinniest.
Which like, how much? Was, under 2? Were you under 200?
I was under 2, yeah.
Yeah.
It was like the 1 week I was under 200 pounds.
Yeah.
And I looked good. So I hand the lady my old ID, and she looks at it, and then she looks at me.
She thought you and found it on the ground.
I played into like, this so hard, too. Like, I wasn't dressed the way I've been dressed, like I normally dress. I wasn't wearing, like, a hoodie and stuff.
You were dressing like Sling Blade.
I was in, like, a very crisp white shirt.
Like, starched.
Buttoned all the way to the top.
Yeah. Like a point collar shirt.
Yeah. Tucked into my jeans. It's a terrible look. And then I also have a pair of...
Were you wearing, like, orthopedic tennis shoes?
Yes.
Like George Costanza's yes, jumping shoes?
I have a pair of gray Reeboks that I just bought on a whim because they were on sale. I'm like, I don't know when I'm going to need these.
Like Steph Curry shoes.
Basically.
Yeah.
They're terrible looking shoes. And I was like, I don't know when I'm going to need these, but I'm going to get them just because they're cheap and I want them.
But the shoes aren't in the picture. You were just trying to complete the look.
But I was, you know, I walk into the venue. I walk into the BMB.
Now, which one did you go to?
I went to the one that's over off of Warren in West Park area.
Okay.
So, like, on the other side of Lakewood.
Or something like that, yeah.
Okay.
By the Giant Eagle. So I walk in there, hand her my ID. She looks at me, looks at the ID, and she's got a million questions, too nice to say anything. And she goes through this, and then is getting all my information.
I wanted to so badly just to be like, what happened? Like, just quiet.
I mean, her eyes were definitely asking that question. Like, what happened? Like, this is not... Like,
let me see that picture.
The old picture.
Oh, like, my God.
Like, yes. you were in a car accident.
Yeah,
you were covering,
you're like skinny, your hair's done.
My beard
got a big
nice.
Smile on see. Your face. Hold on.
Yeah, and then... And then I go over to take the picture, and I... Yeah, take a look at those.
Those two next to each other.
You look like you're your own son.
Right.
Yeah.
It's pretty drastic. The difference is very, very drastic. Even just today, walking down like I passed Pound Cake in the hallway.
Yeah. And I have to admit, I did not recognize him.
He did not recognize me.
He was just some boob walking down the hallway.
Today?
Yeah.
You didn't recognize him today?
Today.
I was leaving the cafe, and he was walking around the corner, and I just looked up, didn't give a second glance, and I was like, wait a minute.
So I'll post the side-by-side once I get the ID, but...
Yeah, I love how you, like, put your...
Oh, yeah, yeah. Like, she's like, okay, do you want to smile? I'm like, yep, and so I suck my head back into my neck to give me the most amount of neck girth that I can get.
Multiple chins.
Yeah.
Charlie being Freddy Kitchens.
Yeah, it's total, like, Kitchens goiter neck, and... She's like, do you want to see it? And I'm like, yeah, I want to see it. And she's like, do you want to do another one? I'm like, no, that's great. And she's like, you want it to be bad? And I'm
like... Oh, she said you want it to be bad.
Yeah, she said you want... I mean, she goes... And I'm like, yeah. And she's like, okay. And that's when she kind of figured out that I was kind of trolling.
Goofing, yeah.
Yeah. And so it was pretty
that's
funny.
Beautiful.
But one thing that's weird, because if you have done the new license yet...
Uh-huh. I was going to ask, are these those real IDs you got
to get?
Yeah,
one this year. Like
I do, too.
By October of this year, you have to get one or you can't fly.
I just did one, and now I got to go back.
Me, too.
So you got to get one of these, and you have to bring in your old license, and then you have to bring in, like, your birth certificate or your passport. Mm.
I had to renew my passport.
So I brought in my my birth certificate, my social security card, and then I had to bring in two forms of identification for my current address. And I just moved, so I brought some mortgage information and some insurance information.
And she's like, who sold you a house?
I live in Lakeview, you want to see it?
I live in a shoe. Yeah.
By myself.
Grandma's upstairs.
Mm-hmm.
So I didn't grab like the right form that I needed or the right the part of the bill from my insurance, from my homeowner's insurance, and they're like, well, you can't get the license today because you need another form of identification or another form of like proof of residency. And I was like, oh, well, that's annoying. And she goes, but what you could do is you could update your driver's registration and then just use that. And I'm like, okay, so I can update that with less information and then use that as a way to prove that I live here And she's like, yeah. I'm like, do you understand how silly the system is?
Yeah.
She's like,
right.
It's the silliest
well,
thing.
Well, fortunately, though, what they started to do, at least the last time I was at the BMV, is they have spotters now because there's so many people in line.
Oh, yeah.
Used to be you'd wait in line and then get up there, and they would tell you you didn't have the right documentation. Now they have somebody that walks along and goes, what are you here to do?
Right.
What do you have? So you could be standing there for maybe 5 minutes.
Instead of a half hour.
And they go, you don't have the right stuff.
Right.
At least that's helpful rather than wasting your time.
Yeah, so I was able to just update my... Which I had to do anyway, so I just update my vehicle registration and use that as a form of identification, as a proof of residency. And I'm just like, this is the silliest thing. Like, what? I've given you all the same information, and now I'm okay, but...
It's because you look completely different. Mm-hmm. You could be working for ISIS they know.
It's not that. It's just they... Like, if they wanted to make it harder on me, they could have.
Yeah.
But they're like, hey, this is a little workaround.
She felt bad for you.
They couldn't, they couldn't, they're like, oh, is this your first driver's license? He goes, no, this is my, you couldn't believe they let him drive.
Mamma,
do you have a
me.
Yellow car with a red body? is it little tykes and you use your feet to kick around?
Like a Flintstone.
I got tired of walking everywhere.
But I thought that was weird that you can update your vehicle registration and use that as a proof of
where you
residency,
live. Yeah.
Well, you got a little life hack.
Yeah.
I got to get mine because I don't have my Social Security card. My wallet got stolen a couple years ago.
Whoa.
And at the comedy tour.
At the comedy tour, yeah. And I didn't have...
You haven't replaced it in 2 years?
I haven't replaced it. It's one of those things you have to, like, go to apply to get it, which I have to do.
I was going to say, a Social Security card? Like, do you know how hard that is to get?
That's what I'm saying. I need, like, my mom's, all of her birth information, my dad's, their Social Security numbers. I have to fill it out on a form, take it downtown. Then you have to, like, apply for it, and there's a waiting period before you can get it and stuff like that. So they
don't have a purse stolen box you can check?
No.
All kinds of weird scenarios.
I have my birth certificate and I have my passport.
Lost in river. Stolen at comedy show.
So I was allowed to get my new license in November, but they were like, this isn't the one that will let you fly. Like, this is just okay for you to have to drive. By 2020, you need to update this again.
What?
Yeah.
So I had to do it too?
Everybody
does. Well, because I didn't have my Social Security card. But if you have everything, by October of this year, you have to have that specific license.
My birthday's in June, and so I did it last year on my birthday. And then the next month in July, they go, you got to get new licenses.
Yeah.
I'm like, all right.
And they mail it. That's the most annoying part.
That you have to wait for it. They put that weird stamp on it so that your old license isn't good anymore.
Yeah,
whatever.
It's got little holes in it.
Yeah.
So why can't I, why is... it possible to why can't I just call in and get it updated? Why do I have to go to the actual BMV to do stuff?
Because you have to have all of those
new
papers.
License
you have
person.
To you have to prove with all of those documents that's who you
are. I have a PIN number on my license.
Doesn't matter.
What more do you want?
They want your Social Security card, your birth certificate, and your
and two proofs of residency.
Well, guess I'm not flying anywhere.
They want your government.
That's forever though. So if you ever want to fly anywhere again, you have to get that done. They don't accept passports. At any domestic flights, you are not allowed to use a passport. So I can't use a passport to fly from here to Detroit or wherever.
Yes, but it needs to be done by this year or I can't fly ever again.
That's not a flight you want to take. Just
Whatever. You get what I'm saying. You can't fly anywhere at all with a passport anymore. You have to have this certain type of license.
Within the United States.
Yeah.
So dumb.
It's very dumb.
It's supposed to up security. I don't know how it ups security.
Mm-hmm. Wonder why they've switched to black and white photos. That seemed like it would be less descriptive than color
photos. Mine's not black and white.
I think all the new ones are black and
white. Is it?
Yeah.
Is it black and white?
I think so. Isn't yours?
Mine's brand new.
I don't have the actual ID yet.
I think they're black and white. I'm not sure why, because you would think, unless it's like a scanning thing when they, what's she doing?
I want to go see.
She leaves the room to get her driver's license. All right.
Mine's just the piece of paper right now, which I had to show when I was buying some wine the other night.
Yeah.
And they're like, can I see your ID? I'm like, yes, you can.
You're just dying for people to ask for
it. But it would be better once I have my regular hair and beard back.
They are black and white. Yeah.
People are telling me that you can use any government document that has your social on it. So a W-2 you could use. You wouldn't need your Social Security card.
I don't know about
really?
That.
Oh, really? Then I would go do that now. Yeah, they are black and white.
This time of year, if you had tax forms, I think they would probably accept that as identification.
I can't believe I have one more year till my license expires, and they're not even going to
I just got mine when I turned 30. Got mine in November, and they were like, hey, you have to do this anyway, but I didn't have the right papers with me.
And they're long here, too. They're like 4 or 5 years in Ohio.
Yeah.
In Illinois, they were two. You had to do it every 2 years.
I got 4 years.
This one doesn't technically expire until 2022, but I have to. It says right on there, not a federal ID. So you have
this
to
is not a
one.
Federal ID.
This is just like you live in Ohio, you can drive your car.
Oh, boy.
Mine
says USA on it. How is it not a federal ID?
That could be United States of Akron for all they know, pound cake.
Well, it has
be
Ohio
very specific.
Actually, I think I got this in 2018.
So when do you get your physical driver's license that you can show everyone with your new face?
It takes like 2 or 3 weeks, right?
I thought they said about a week.
A week.
So I'll check my mail today.
So you're waiting with bated breath. You're running to the mailbox every day. Man, that's fantastic.
I'm very excited.
Yeah.
I'm still waiting. You know what I'm waiting on bated breath for? My friggin' check from that college show 2 weeks ago.
Still? Dude.
I called the girl today and I was like, hey guys, it's been 2 weeks. Like, do you have any idea what's going on? Can I get an update? And maybe the day you sent it out. And they're like, well, maybe President's Day threw it off. By one federal holiday. All right.
Yeah.
But I'm very frustrated about that.
I got my tax refund in a week, and you can't get your money from these goddamn, this college that's just got money floating around.
I got my Ohio one today. I'm waiting on my federal.
I need to go do mine still. At this point, here's a question. At this point, the clubs that have not sent me a W-2, do I just say screw them?
Yes,
they have till April, right?
Yeah, they do. But I think, you should call them.
Yeah, make sure they're in business.
Hey, did you guys close down?
It might be a moot point
because I don't know what happens if I file it without that, and then they send it later.
Because
if
somebody goes into your, I still get forms of like, hey, we found another couple $100 from 2015.
Yeah, I get that stuff
I'm like,
too.
What? You just keep going back 5 or 6 years to people.
Yeah.
Like, how does this work? It never ends. It's going to turn me into a Republican.
I mean, as long as you report the income that you got from those clubs.
Like just add in the extra couple $100?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
I'm still at a loss, I'll tell you that.
Yeah, right.
Because you have, like, the way you travel, like buying airline tickets and driving and all that stuff, those usually show up as a loss. So you'll be fine.
Licenses in Arizona last 40 years. That can't be.
Can't be.
40?
It is true.
40,
it is
40
true.
Years?
It is true. I have two friends that live in Arizona, and I remember he was staying on, like.
Imagine making that note. 40 years from now, I gotta make sure I renew my license.
Well, no.
Everybody who lives out there is 90 or 20.
He lived on University of Akron's campus. Like, we were friends, and I remember when we would go through the drive-thru, because he was 21 and I wasn't, he was getting me alcohol, and they wouldn't sell him alcohol because it said his driver's license, like, expired some crazy year.
He was from Arizona.
He was from Arizona, had an Arizona driver's license.
Why would you go to the University of Akron if you're from Arizona?
He was dating a girl here, so he didn't go to the school.
Jesus.
But he just lived in a house off of campus, and he went through the drive-thru, and the guy was like, this driver's license doesn't expire. It's fake. And he was like, no, Arizona's doesn't expire. It's just a very long time. He was like, no, I don't believe that.
Your license is good until your 65th birthday is what I'm being told in Arizona.
Wow.
It's crazy.
You don't have to renew it
No matter
ever.
When you get it. Unless you get it when you're 18 or 16.
I guess. Until your 65th birthday.
That's crazy.
So he was actually really pissed.
I wonder why there's such disparate, and again, for anybody just checking in now. Scintillating conversation. Nevertheless, I wonder what the huge disparities are. Like I said, growing up, Illinois, our driver licenses were you got to get them done every 2 years. 4 years here. 65 in Arizona.
That's because nobody's driving anymore out there. Or if they do.
Well, there are plenty of people driving. Yeah.
Or
try getting around Phoenix in under, an hour and a half.
It might be a tribal thing. There's a lot of, reservations out there. I don't know.
Well, that would make sense if you were Native American on a reservation.
I just remember my friend was really pissed, and he wanted to make a point. He was like, I almost want to call the police. I was like, well, don't do that, because you're buying me alcohol. But he was just like, no, I want to make a point to this idiot. He was like, why would I come through the...
Call the police.
If it didn't have an expiration date, why would I present it to you like it was real?
So in a lot of these other places, like people are telling me Oregon, it's 10 years. You'd literally really have to make sure that you were making yourself a note. Obviously, they're going to send you some kind of notice. Mm-hmm. But it's not something that is as frequent as other places.
Well,
I wonder why that is.
So our e-checks are by state, too, then?
Yeah.
That's correct. And by
emissions
county.
Checks.
Well, that's by county, because I think Lorraine requires you to have one.
You have to do that every other year. Maybe when you went and did that, they would tell you, hey, you got to go.
Yeah, they send you a letter in the mail.
It's by population or something like that, right? Like, based on the county, if the county you live in is a certain size?
Because I know...
That was another thing. I had to get an e-check, and I did it looking like that. And it was like this young black dude that just like looks at me, and then I also had a bunch of stuff that I had in storage that was all in my car. So there's like
you lived in it,
yeah. And so he's like, "Grab all your valuables out of the car," and I'm like, "There's so many."
Grab all your valuables.
And then he looks at me, and he's just like, "Okay,
there we go."
Like the way black people react to the hair is not like. Like, white people laugh at it, but black people just roll their eyes and be like,
oh,
white
man,
people.
They mess you up, cuz.
Yeah.
You need to stop letting your cousin cut your hair, dude.
The cost of a license, though, in Arizona is like $400, I'm being told. So, but again, yeah. Guess what? If it expires when you're 65,
it's worth
you got
it.
Some time to save up.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, but what if
the
you
$400?
Lose it?
That sucks. Ooh, replacing if you lose it, right? If you lose it, yeah. But I'm going to replace it isn't.
Maybe the BMV as another form of revenue. Maybe the BMV out in Arizona runs around stealing people's licenses. They have like an undercover person who will run around, a Confederate who goes out there and steals people's identification. So they have to go and they go, look at how much money we're making these $400 licenses.
Imagine how empty it is there, though. Like, it would probably be paradise when you finally do go because you're like, oh, everyone's my age. It's a bunch of old people and teenagers. Like, that's all you have. Nobody in between, really, unless they lose it. But they probably move really, really slow. They probably serve like pizza or
something. It's like West Palm Beach. Either tweakers or elderly. Wow. That's why Florida's awesome. Elderly tweakers and the older. That's right.
This is why Florida's awesome.
I saw Ripper Owens is back in, kind of, back in Judas Priest. Kind of. K.K. Downing, who was the longtime guitarist for Judas Priest, has formed a band with former members of Judas Priest. Ripper Owens, of course, the pride of Akron, Ohio, replaced Rob Halford for many years in Judas Priest. He's on Bar Rescue. He had that Ripper Owens Rock House.
I remember that.
Down there in Akron for a few years, and I saw him on Bar Rescue. And I used to cross paths with him pretty frequently. But I think he's out there doing other things. But K.K. Downing has formed a band called K.K.'s Priest. Whether or not that's going to confuse people, I don't know. But Ripper's going to front that band along with a couple of other dudes who used to be in Judas Priest. A guy who played the drums for him for 2 years in the 70s. Maybe these are all guys who have, like... And they've got acrimony towards the existing Judas Priest or something. I don't know. But they're going to be out there doing Judas Priest songs. Which is going to be fun for Ripper if you're out there singing them again. But I certainly hope, I wonder if that'll be confusing. Perhaps they'll open for Rob Halford and Judas Priest. Imagine
that.
That'd
be very fun.
Right? Judas Priest with special guest KK's Priest. So if you're a Judas Priest fan, and because... Rob Halford, Judas Priest, proper, have said that they're done doing these long, year-long world tours. So, if you like Judas Priest, but you don't want to wait around, granted, you know, with all deference to these guys, seeing Rob Halford is kind of 85% of seeing Judas Priest. But KK's Priest might do it for you. If you just want to hear the songs... Ripper can sing them.
They could do it like Gallagher too, right?
There you, yeah, Gallagher's brother.
You go to the smaller markets. You get, you know, there's some coordination that has to take place, but you get some Judas Priest, not all, but you know, go to a smaller market. It's Elkhart, Indiana, they're showing up.
RV capital of the United States.
Yeah,
I'm waiting for the first lawsuit to get filed. Because KK Downing, he's got access. He can play those songs. He wrote a lot of them.
Citing the law, citing the law.
So Ripper back in the fold, along with KK Downing, drummer Les Binks, who was with them for a couple of years, played on Stained Glass and Hellbent for Leather, and then a couple other guys. It's called KK's Priest.
Hellbent for Leather. What a shock that he came out as gay.
Rob Halford.
Yeah.
Hellbent for Leather. Yeah. Well, listen. the rock and roll in the 70s, right?
Mm-hmm.
Hey, it was all leather.
Yeah, I know.
All leather.
You know the history behind like the leather daddy movement that's like probably guys around Rob Halford's age?
I'm happy to say that I am entirely ignorant of what you're going to tell me, Bill.
A lot of it comes from World War II vets.
Okay.
So
playing around in foxholes, is that what you're getting at?
Well, it was like the leather, like the uniforms that they had to wear. Like there was a lot of leather in that, and there was a lot of
leather in the uniforms.
And there's ties to like the SS uniforms and stuff like that. I don't know the exact history of it. Maybe Pound Cake knows more about it, but I think a lot of the leather daddy stuff that showed up in the gay scene comes from World War II.
Huh.
Like the closeted gay men that were like men. And that's why there's a lot of gay men that are like, they're not as into like the femme stuff. They like that hard leather daddy stuff.
Like when you get your boots polished and stuff like that. It was, honestly.
Do you know the origins of the leather daddy scene?
I don't know the origin.
Because I've heard things about it being coming from World War II.
It was San Francisco, I thought.
Yeah.
I know it was like all the...
Well, it probably originated there, but I mean, like, there's a lot of roots that come from people being in, like, World War II vets.
I'm sure that's where it came from, and these guys aren't just gay, like, they're gay. Like,
they're gruff and gay.
It's a very different level.
Yeah.
And I tried it because I like to, you know, dip my toe in that pond to see if it's something I want to swim in, but it just wasn't for me.
I just assumed it was because leather is so comfortable to wear by itself.
Right.
On your body. But I just assumed it was from that.
But
is it?
Leather is just a signal that they use to, like, show their different type of fetishes, though.
Show that they're not vegetarian?
Because with leather comes, like, there's different classes, because then you might have a harness, or you might have a vest. They both mean different things. You wear the boots, it means a different thing. Some of them are into, like, knife play.
God, what? How exhausting if, like, you're gay and you want to get into the scene, but you have to do... You got to study before you even put your toe in.
You
don't want to wear the wrong thing. Like,
well, because they have tails. Like some of them are pups and some of them are masters. So,
if
you're a pup, you have a mask and then you have a puppy name. So you don't give away your true identity and you act as though you are someone's pet and you walk around with a tail, a mask and a leash, and your master, who is probably the leather vest that holds you.
We had to do when I was an intern in Chicago radio when I was first getting started, and I was essentially the stunt boy for the show I was on. Chicago has had International Mr. Leather.
Yeah.
This is the world. It's been there since the 70s, and they still have it. And there was one year where they sent me out to interview guys at International Mr. Leather. I wish I had those tapes. But, yeah, everything means something different. And it would be exhausting if you were somebody new to the scene. You didn't want to be wearing the wrong thing. You'd have to figure out who you were before you even bought a strap of leather to get on there.
A different type of jock strap means, like, different things. Like, if you wear...
But how does that... But, like, what's the governing body? How does...
It's very
it's not like everybody's going to know. What do you walk around with a glossary like this?
They
do in the bars, though.
But even if you're into the scene, you wouldn't necessarily know every single thing that it meant.
They have them posted on, like, just like when you go to the bathroom and they have, like, those life alerts for women who are about to, like, that might be on a date rape.
I see. Angel shot?
They have them at the urinal, and it's like, all right, show your pride or whatever, and it have, like, different colors, and, like, this means I'm a bottom, this means I'm a top, this means I'm verse. This means meet me in the bathroom.
Jesus Christ.
They have different colors.
So you gotta find somebody that's wearing the same color as you?
No. You want to find the opposite, because if two bottoms don't make a top, so they wear the flag to make it easier. So,
okay, hey, but you still have to color coordinate with someone.
True. Like, if you wear a certain color, it might say...
But you know who to approach.
Yeah, if you wear a certain color, it might say, I like anonymous sex in the bathroom. So then, if you're looking for anonymous sex in the bathroom, you look for the guy with the pink flag over there. You know?
Wow.
It's a very exhausting, and
it's exhausting, but for, like, a single, like, if I could go to a bar and every girl was wearing a color based on what they were into, I'd be like, yep, nope, yep.
Right,
nope.
But it also doesn't mean that they're going to be into you. Like,
right.
Say, you're a leather guy, and you're in a bar, and you're like, oh, I'm a pink, guy's a yellow, and you go over, and he's like, ew. You're like, okay, great, I tried to learn everything, and you don't even want to mess around with me.
But at least you know who to approach and who not to waste time with.
You're wearing a dumb costume.
No, I actually kind of agree with Bill on this, where it's like, wouldn't it be easier if there was women who are like, hey, I am just looking to get drunk and have sex tonight. And they, that was, if you wear a choker necklace, that's what that means. Or, like, you know what I mean?
Yeah,
like,
that kind of is what that means.
Well, that's why I used it as an analogy.
Like, so if you're a pup.
Heels under 3 inches means I want to have fun with my friends. Please don't approach me. You know?
It's almost like a red light, green light party. When there's pups that have a collar, that means they have a master. But if you're a pup without a collar, that means you're looking for your master. So you're like, all right, well, I am a master. I want to pet somebody tonight. I want to serve my fetish and I need to find a pup. So you look for all the pups with no collar and no name tag and then you're
ugh,
like,
so much work.
You want me to put a name tag on you? They're like, yes, master.
Arf, so much work.
It's part of the courtship process, though.
The courtship.
Yeah.
And I never had someone
this is my pup.
To shine my boots before. Like, I was like, I don't even have boots that need to be, like, shined. I don't have black boots. I don't own a pair of black boots.
Well, then why would
you? Yeah,
you're not going to get your boots shined if they're not shinable.
I know, but it was just, I never had anybody like, can I shine your boots? I'm like, what is this? Do I live in Brattonall? Like, who's getting their boots shined?
What if you're a colorblind gay dude?
You're not welcome in the leather community.
I don't know. That's only technically for two colors, but I mean, you know, it's pretty wild.
I don't know.
Man, it's like people are right. Being gay is a full-time job.
But that's advanced level.
That's just
level.
One subset of it.
That's literally one.
Right, but there's
a whole leather community that has nothing to do with the gay part of it
but
either.
But there are also so many gay subcultures.
Yes, but if you if you're just gay and you just want to bang hot dudes, you go to Twist. But if you're gay and you're into leather, you go to Leather Stallion. Like, they're on two separate sides of town, like, completely. There's no way you're going to they do intermingle if you are looking to go to a gay club. But, like, if you there's something for everybody, you know what club to go to.
Could it just be
the Leather Stallion?
Could it just be that leather is so easy to hose off?
I mean, you don't want to hose it off. The water's not good for
saying,
it.
Nobody wanders.
But if you get, you're gonna get stuff on it.
I don't know. There's a lot of different.
They're probably
things,
pretty careful. Leather's expensive. That, you don't want to ruin it.
If you're into that, they have a brown flag for that. If you're into, you know, that type of stuff, scat play or mess or whatever.
To a certain degree, this is the same with straight people, too.
Yeah.
You go to a certain type of bar, depending on what you're looking to get into that night. It's not all directly related to sex, but kind of. You know?
Did somebody call you about Breaking the Law, Poundcake?
Breaking the Law?
The song I was playing with Ripper Owens?
Yes.
And what'd you say?
I didn't say anything. I said, okay. And then he hung up.
Oh.
Why?
They said you asked, why didn't they just Google it?
Yeah, I did ask that, but...
Well, you didn't tell me that. I said, what did you say? What did you say?
I said, why didn't you Google it? And then he was explaining, and then he hung up. I said, oh, okay. He didn't say
why
he wanted
to just Google
what,
it.
What exactly did he ask?
I don't know.
Who sings a song?
Well, he texted me. He goes, I seriously did not know. I don't know how old this person is, but he goes, I seriously didn't realize Breaking the Law was a real song. I thought it was a Beavis and Butthead thing. Poundcake was an ass when I called and asked why I didn't just Google it.
No, I wasn't. I wasn't an ass. I just asked. I said, oh, why didn't you Google it? I mean, even though they didn't have Google back when Beavis and Butthead was on, if you were curious about the song, you
all
can't
right.
Google it.
I just wanted to know what you said.
It's called Ask
Jeeves. People call me an ass because they were embarrassed about a situation. That ain't got nothing to do with me.
Well, that doesn't sound embarrassing. I'm just always trying to make sure that you're treating my customers with respect.
Yeah,
these are my customers. They're not your customers. So I want to make sure that you're not snippy with them.
Bitch, I ain't Google.
Why don't you Google it?
Well, I'll tell you what, just to prove that it doesn't matter where you live, you can possibly die.
Oh.
A guy up the street from where I live, and I live in a relatively nice
area. Is this going back to the murder house?
No, this guy, the story made the rounds yesterday. Guy up the street from where I live, the story initially was they found him dead in his house about 1 p.m, surrounded by hazardous materials, but they wouldn't say what it was, right? Now they say, and I don't know how the guy died, if he killed himself, whatever, but this is a guy that was in a very nice neighborhood. They find him dead in his house, surrounded by pipe bombs.
Piping the bomb.
I don't know what the hell this guy was going to do with him. He was going to use them locally, if he had plans on something larger. I don't know.
One of them exploded and killed him?
Yeah. No, there was no explosion, but I was at the time when the story broke yesterday, they were like evacuating nearby houses because they didn't know what the hell was going on.
Yeah.
They just were very vague and they said hazardous materials.
I don't know what a pipe bomb is.
You got to make one.
Yeah, but how big of an explosion does a pipe bomb make?
Well, they fill
pretty
them with screws.
It's like making your own dynamite, basically.
Oh, so it's not...
They take a variety of forms, but they're not good.
So items come out and pierce
shrapnel,
you.
Yeah. They can be shrapnel. Okay, yeah.
And he makes it with like gunpowder and pack it into like a PVC.
They're homemade bombs.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
Creepy.
So it's
This is just to prove money doesn't make you happy. He's a millionaire like you, and then playing with pipe bombs the next day.
I don't know who he is. He could have been someone's uncle living at their house.
That's true.
I don't know what's going on there.
Breaking the law. That's going to be in my head all day.
Breaking the law. It's a great song.
Yeah, he is breaking the law.
Is it illegal to make a pipe bomb?
Yeah, it's an improvised explosive device. Yeah, I mean, you're not supposed to be making bombs in your house.
But it's your house.
Yeah, but if you blow up your neighbor.
I was getting snippy with you.
Might just Google it. Hey, how do you make a pipe? Hey, how do you make a pipe bomb?
Don't Google that. You'll get a.
Yeah,
end up
I
on
was
a list.
About to. I was just about to Google it.
Hey, Bob. Hey, what? I screwed it up.
Alan Cox Show.
Hey, how do you make a pipe bomb?
Just Google it.
I Google it.
What's asking me for?
Well, I was about to.
Actually,
Google.
I. You know what? I rescind my criticism. I would like that to be your response to every person's call.
Just
right?
Google it.
Hey, am I a winner? Why don't you Google it?
But it was an honest question.
Hey, did I get the Foo Fighters tickets? Why don't you Google it?
If anything, I treat them more like friends than customers anyways. Because I'm having a conversation with them. Oh, what do you want to talk about? Oh, why didn't you just Google
Alan's
it?
Alan's supposed to have the conversation with him.
But I'm pulling information from them, so I can put it in there.
But why didn't you Google it is not a question that's going to elicit more information from them. If you say why, then you've put them on the defensive.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
And also, we could have maybe.
This is why it's better that I talk to people. Because he goes, why didn't you Google it? Even if you didn't mean it in that way, it's going to come across that way. Because somebody goes, well.
I'm very careful about that because my daughter asks me dumb stuff all the time. And every once in a while, I'll just send her a link to google.com. But most of the time, I will just appease her, and because she's really just trying to reach out.
Well,
this guy wanted to
tell
a story. He's like, hey, I heard this, because it's not just, I don't know what that song is. Anecdotally, it's, I only thought that was a song from Beavis and Butthead. That could start a conversation.
But I was asking because I didn't really, at first I didn't know what he was in reference to, because I didn't even hear the song he was talking about, because we were doing a giveaway. So I'm like, oh, well, why didn't you just Google it? Because we don't have the soundboard anymore when you used to come back from breaks, and they used to have different stuff on there on the website.
Right.
So, I don't know. I thought I was saving time by asking that. But my B. My B.
My B.
My B. Al, that guy lived there with his mother, father, and brother. There you go. So here's a guy living, just making pipe bombs. How do you make a show bomb? Ask Pound Cake. See, that's a completely different set of circumstances. Pipe bombs are what was in that kid's backpack at the Boston Marathon.
But they were crock pot
bombs, yeah. Like pressure cookers. But that's essentially a pipe bomb.
Yeah. Pressure cooker, not crock pot.
Did the bomber die?
he was slowly,
how dare you?
He was slowly marinating those screws and nuts and bolts. And
did the Boston bomber die?
The brother was killed.
You're supposed to respond, just Google it!
I can't even follow my own bit now.
Man. I know, right?
Boston bomber. He's still in prison, right?
But I don't understand how you wear a backpack with a bomb in it, and then you kill other people, but you don't kill yourself.
You weren't. They set it down.
You set it.
I thought he was a suicide bomber.
No.
Yeah, I really didn't need to Google
it. It was the kid and his brother, and then the brother went and got, like, Harvard campus cops killed the brother or something. They cornered him. Then the kid ended up hiding in a boat. Mm-hmm. We were on the air when that was unfolding
that
live.
That was unfolding live.
Friday.
That was on a Friday. On Monday is when the bombing happened, and it happened right before the show started. And we were, like, getting reports as the show started.
Yep.
And then Friday, it was all, like, the chase was happening. And then I remember I was at some art shop thing with my ex-wife, and I'm like glued to my phone getting updates on this, and everybody else is just living their life. I'm like, he's in a boat.
Yeah.
The guy's in a boat. They're like, who? The Boston guy.
They're cornering him.
It's wild.
Speaking of a guy doing weird things in his house, I love the phrase routine crawl space inspection. I didn't know that was a thing, but I guess it's a thing in Florida. Gainesville, they were doing a routine crawl space inspection. I assume that the guy is dead now, but the crawl space was full of jars of preserved human tongues.
Ooh.
They go back to the 1960s. And they were trying to, they were in plastic jars. They're all dusty. They were labeled.
I was going to say, that's not illegal to have, is it? I mean, if
human tongues. I mean, it's biohazardous material. But again, they determined that the guy had been a researcher at the University of Florida who studied oral medicine and surgery. But still, there are plenty of people who do that kind of work and don't have jars of tongues in their crawl space.
How could you have like a lab at like the university that you could just put that
stuff
in?
Why don't you leave your work at work?
During his research, when he was early in his career, way back in the 60s and 70s, brought the specimens with him when he came to Florida to work at the University of Florida with the intention of using it in additional research. They had forgotten that those specimens were there, but once we presented it to him, they immediately remembered, oh, those are the specimens from the research.
I don't know what the policies and laws would have been like 50 years ago or whenever it was, but I can tell you that today that's not something that would be permitted.
I can tell you today we wouldn't permit a whole crawl space full of tongues. Crawl space full of tongues on Sonic Temple this spring.
There we go. Very excited about that.
This is why Florida's awesome.
Just when you think radio couldn't get any better, it doesn't.
This is the Alan Cox Show
on 100.7 WMMS.
Love this band too, Code Orange. From Pittsburgh, PA.
That's a type of Mountain Dew.
These kids are blowing up. They're doing the Sonic Temple Festival mid-May down in Columbus. I will have the three-day weekend passes for you around 5:20 this afternoon, an hour prior. Of course, those Foo Fighters tickets at 4:20 today, tomorrow, and Friday. Those will go on sale Friday morning, the 25th anniversary tour for the Foo Fighters. They're only doing 10 cities. They are retracing their steps from the very first tour that they went on, and that somehow included Cleveland. So there's some odd choices in there, since that's what they're doing. They're going to be showing Dave Grohl's documentary on this tour as well. So the show in Cleveland is the 18th of May at the Romo Fijo. So you can win those tickets before they go on sale at 4:20 with me. They're doing Phoenix, Albuquerque, Oakland. So this is the debut Foo Fighters tour, 1995. Visions of Nirvana still dancing in people's heads. Foo Fighters are just the new band from the Nirvana drummer. Because the first album, he played all the instruments himself. It was a Dave Grohl production. And then put a band together to tour. So that first tour, Phoenix, Albuquerque, Oklahoma City, Wichita, Knoxville, Green Bay, Wisconsin, Grand Rapids, Cincinnati, Cleveland, Hamilton, Ontario. So they are recreating that road trip for the 25th anniversary tour. And fortunately, we're on that.
Cool.
I don't know who's supporting them on that. If that information is out there, I haven't seen it.
I hope Tenacious D.
Yo, butt cheeks is warm. Hey, Chris.
So good.
Hey, Alan. How you doing?
What's
hey,
going on? Show. Thank you, sir.
Listen, I heard on 19 News today that that guy in Bay Village, apparently he's died from a head wound from one of the pipe bombs exploding.
Huh.
And they think that it might have been a suicide because next to the body they have found a note that said he couldn't take it anymore when his friend Mary didn't give Bill a birthday card this week.
Chris is very pleased with himself.
Very pleased.
He's very pleased with himself. Wow, I was going to say, I didn't hear anything about a pipe bomb blowing up. And then I thought, oh, I'm not going to step on Chris's bit here. I want to see where this goes.
Well, I'm an amateur. I just
he couldn't that. Take it anymore because of Bill's birthday. Bill was crestfallen over his birthday yesterday here on the show.
Mm-hmm.
And rightfully so.
You think?
Well, I mean, he doesn't ask for much, and he is a good comedian.
Thank you, Chris.
All it takes these days. All right.
Yeah.
I like you.
All right. Thank you, Chris.
Thanks, Alan. Bye.
All right. Take care. There's Chris.
And Mary did a very nice thing for me yesterday.
What did I do, Bill?
She did a little... I got home. I went to the Stan Piatt thing at the Funny Stop, the fundraiser, and kind of a memorial for him. And it was a really nice time. Like, a lot of good jokes. Nice to see his family. His son used to come to comedy shows with him all the time. I saw him. He didn't recognize me at all. He was also half in the bag. but he sounds just like his dad, and his dad had a great radio voice, so he got up and said a few words, and everybody in the whole place just gasped, and they were like, oh man, it's like stands up there right now.
That's crazy.
It was a really nice moment. It was a nice night. And then when I get home, I go into my dining room area, and there's a bunch of gray, brown, and black balloons that match the carpet.
Mm-hmm.
And a banner that says, it was your birthday. And I posted a picture of it.
If anybody's familiar with the office scene with Jim and Dwight, I recreated that in Bill's in Bill's
dining room
last night. So that you some vodka, little gift card.
Yep. I appreciate that.
The boys
very
pitched
much.
In for that. So that was from them too.
So he feels better about everything now?
I do. I feel great.
Okay.
That was a nice thing. And just getting it off my chest was a nice thing too. And I've had a lot of people reach out to me and be like, I'm the exact same way. I do a lot of stuff for other people. Nobody does anything for me, it feels like, and I don't know how to ask for it because it just feels weird to do so.
Again, let me reiterate, not on the other people.
Not what?
It's not on the other people.
Right. I didn't say it was.
I think a lot of people, again, and I don't want to retread this ground, but I think the frustration with people comes from the fact that they think, despite them telling everybody they don't want anything, that other people should know what they're thinking. And that's,
but it's not even that.
That's the crux of the sadness. Those people should know that I don't really mean that, which is nonsense.
Eh. Yeah, but it's how some people are programmed, tough thing to do.
You took responsibility for that yesterday. Yeah. You said, this is my fault.
But like, I'm talking about the people who hit you up.
Yeah,
but they know that too, and that's why they're... Like, they've never heard someone verbalize it like that, so they're like, oh man, that is me exactly, where I need to verbalize this more. I need to say things to people I care about and let them know.
Listen, more talking, more conversation is good.
Of appreciation. And again, it doesn't have to, like, I appreciate the gesture more than any of the gifts. Like, the gifts are nice. I like those. I used the gift card to get some art for my walls.
Hey, there you go.
So it's going to be, you know, well used. I liked it. But the fact that you took the time to go up there and recreate this scene from The Office, which is, you know, one of the shows that we both love that show, but we also used to, like, we became friends talking about that
show.
Right. We used to, like, text each other, like, have you seen this one yet? And became, like, built our friendship around that show. So it was nice. Good. Appreciate it. Thank
glad
you.
That you, liked it.
So you didn't give her a card that said, too little, too late.
I texted his girlfriend immediately after yesterday. And I was like, do you have a key to Bill's apartment? And I didn't realize how out of the blue that would sound. Like texting her. She's like, yes, why? Like, is everything? I was like, oh, I just want to sneak in there and do something.
I want to sneak in there.
Well, he's at a show. I want to.
Yeah. I mean, grandma has a key, right?
Grandma's got a key, yeah.
I didn't even think about that.
You can hit grandma up.
Yeah. But it was good. It felt good doing it, too.
Grandma got me another plant.
Feel appreciated.
Grandma got you another plant?
Yeah.
She just got you a plant.
She got me a... Grandma's buying a lot of plants right now.
Is she giving you the overflow?
I think so.
Oh, okay.
Because she got me
some plants. Well,
some plants
are great.
No, they're...
I need some plants.
I'm very happy about
them. You'll end up with insects in your home, but otherwise, they're lovely.
I already have insects in my home. If I get more plants, will they live in the plants instead of my bed?
Maybe.
Why do you have insects in your bed?
Well, not my bed, but like... I guess once they bombed my apartment, it was better. But when those spiders were biting me 2 years ago?
Mm-hmm. You right? Yeah.
So I'm wondering...
That's me.
Okay. I was like, what's going on?
No, I like the
if
plants
if they migrate into your plants. Because you have spiders, too, being up there, right?
Yeah, but
by the lake?
They don't get into the apartment too bad, at least not in mine. Hers got a little bit.
A little spidery.
But it's one of those things where I like the plants enough that I can deal with a few bugs.
Yeah.
So she is buying too many plants and giving you the ones that she decides she simply can't take care of.
No, I mean, she can take care of all of them. Her place would look like a jungle if she could have it that way.
How did she determine what you get?
She got me manly plants. She's like, I wanted to get you some manly plants.
What are manly plants?
The one that you got today looks like a pineapple top.
Yeah.
I like that.
Yeah.
I don't know. Succulent?
No, it's a big plant, but the top, it looks like the top of a pineapple. Like, that's the way
it's
that it's
shaped.
It's very spiky.
Like a yucca? It's also on my Instagram, at Bill Squire.
What is a manly plant?
I'll show you.
A spiky one?
I guess so.
Huh.
She thinks that's...
It looks like a palm tree.
Yeah, a little bit. But I think because it's kind of tropical, and then, like, it's got a thicker trunk. Because she was going to give me this braided tree trunk, and she's like, yeah, that's a little girly for you. So we want to get you something manly. So I don't
is
know.
She trying to imply that you have a thick trunk?
I mean, no.
What you gonna do with all that trunk? All that trunk inside your plant?
That works too. I like the way you're thinking. All right, what is it? What's an effeminate plant? Like,
I have bamboo. I think that's kind of girly. I have the curly bamboo, the spiral one.
You have the bamboo tree.
No,
does that have a golf ball entwined in the middle?
Nope. Okay. It's I bought you. They were $9 per stick. Bamboo is expensive.
Bamboo to you is an effeminate plant.
I think it's very, very cute, and I often see it in women's homes.
Okay.
But that's what I got.
Sitting near a Zen garden?
Sure. Yeah, a little rake and some sand and a couple of crystals or whatever in there.
Okay. So spiky plants imply masculinity.
Maybe, because they're right around the edges.
That's what she said. I don't know that much about plants, but I thought I like the plants that she's gotten me, and I think they're very... They add a little oomph to the condo.
When you... I don't know if this is real or not. So it's like you breathe better. Like, well, because like carbon, the plants take out the carbon monoxide, and it's supposed to make your home, like, the air quality in your home better.
Plants are great. Yeah. I have kept one alive that Gwen gave me over a decade ago.
The reason why I got bamboo is because you don't really have to do anything to it. They sit in the same little bit of water. You got to change, like, once a week, if that. You don't really have to water them. They kind of just chill.
Hey, if you listen to the show on podcast, by the way, on the iHeartRadio app, you can call any time. If you don't have to listen live, you can throw in the Alan Cox Show After Hours line is always up and running. It's 216-986-8903.
Hey, guys, hate the show. I was this morning, I was on the iHeartRadio app, and I was listening to the segment of Bill's Bowl Cut, and Mary's laugh is extremely contagious. I actually had to pull over on my way to work this morning because I had tears in my eyes. I know that's cliche to say, but that's the facts. But thanks for the laughs. Bye.
You had to pull over because of your contagious laugh.
The coronavirus of laughs.
Hey! Infecting Santora millions virus. Worldwide.
Uh-huh. So that guy loves it.
Because when I really get going, it starts to get into that, like...
I don't know if that's the one that he was thinking was so hot and sexy.
What?
Did he say sexy?
He said contagious.
You know what he means. A guy goes, your laugh is contagious. No guy is telling a girl he thinks is ugly that her laugh's contagious. You he goes, you might be contagious.
You don't even know that he knows what I look like. I heard him coming hard.
Yeah. He knows what you look like.
Yeah.
It's not a hard thing to figure out.
Well, maybe he didn't Google it, Alan.
Yeah, Google it. Mind you Google it. Hey, Poundcake.
Hey, what's Mary look like? Mind you Google it.
Wouldn't I tell them to Google that? What am I supposed to do? Tell them to go to the website? Like, describe her to them?
Describe me. Describe me, Poundcake.
Describe, yes.
If someone were to call in and ask what I looked like, what would you say?
A redheaded Bindi Sue Irwin.
Say again.
Redheaded Bindi.
Bindi Sue.
Sue.
Steve Irwin's daughter.
Oh.
How do you know her middle name?
So then
her, that's
just
her
gonna,
first name.
Oh, Bindi Sue is her first name.
Well, then
Sue
they got to look up what Bindi Sue is.
So then they can Google that. It's easier.
Also, her hair's not red.
It was.
It's reddish.
There's some strawberry in there right now. Oh, she kind of. She's a little squinty. But
boy, somebody sent
a little
me.
Little squinty, huh?
Yeah. Squinty?
This guy, MJ, or girl MJ, sent me a link to the graphic of the color code for, like, these gay leather conventions. Or Jesus Christ, these things are extensive.
I told you.
It has a column for color, and then if it's worn on the left, if it's worn on the right, who could memorize any of this?
They're posted everywhere. Like, that's the reason why they have those. Like, they're in
if you're wearing,
the bathrooms above the urinals.
If you're wearing red.
By the bar.
If your red is being worn on the left, it means you like to give a fist. I'm paraphrasing. If it's worn on the right, you like to take a fist.
That's what I'm saying.
If it's red with a white stripe, you like to shave. Be the shaver.
I don't have an answer for that. Is there something else I can help with?
No, sir. You can't. I don't know.
Whose was that?
It was mine.
I was like, everybody's just jumped up. I didn't.
Siri doesn't have an answer.
Siri said, I don't care what color you wear, man.
If you're wearing magenta on the left, you want somebody to suck your armpits. If it's on the right, you're the armpit freak. likes drag queens. Drool crazy. Pale yellow. Drool crazy.
Drool crazy.
Drool crazy. You're the spitter or the spitty.
You drool me crazy.
Is knife play on there?
Yellow with white stripe. I like Asian bottoms. That seems overtly racist. Hey, what does your yellow ribbon mean? It means I like Asians. Oh, cool.
Bottoms.
Asian bottoms, not just Asians.
Gray flannel. Owns a suit. Likes men. That seems to be like the most elegant normal of all these. Yeah. Yeah. Owns a suit. You're like, what's yours? I like men in suits. What's yours? I'm drool crazy. Oh, maybe we can find some common ground here. How do you feel about people drooling on your new suit?
When I saw this card, I was like, oh my gosh, do they play like bingo on Thursday nights or something like that? And I was looking, I was like, whoa. I was like, this is a very extensive bingo. And then, yeah, so. It's a lot.
If you wear lime green, it means you want someone to buy you food. If you wear it on the left. If you wear it on the right, it means that you will buy dinner.
Man, I need some lime green clothes.
Yeah, man, if you're dyslexic, you are so screwed. Like, oh, man, I'm stuck with the bill now because I put it on the wrong arm.
Darn
I thought I was getting free food. I'm buying free food.
Why are you giving me the bill? Oh, no. Yeah. If you're wearing brown, it means you're a scat top.
See? Told you.
If it's on the right, you're a scat bottom.
Are these, like, on your arm?
They could be on your arm. They could be hanging
bandanas?
Out of your back. Yep. You can,
okay.
Like, sometimes, I mean, it's just the color, so it doesn't have to be bandanas. It could be the,
okay, so if you're into two different things or four different things, can you color coordinate a shirt?
Sure.
So, like, the top left square like one, is gonna, yellow. It's like a twister board.
No, it's like you're in the military in India or something. You got all these like, colors. You're wearing epaulettes.
There is military history to this, though.
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah, so, like,
take your you're shirt wearing stripes. Yeah,
but it's not just a bandana. Like, they can have, like, the band of their thong or underwear to
I mean,
look
there,
like this.
There, so are four there are four different delineations of green. Mm-hmm. You have to know
saying.
The difference between Kelly, Hunter, Olive Drab, and Lime.
They're gay men.
They're gay men. They know the
they
difference.
They know the difference. So what I'm saying is you get a shirt. Just
that's,
somebody's,
that's the easiest thing. They,
yeah.
That's the
that
thing
is
they
magenta.
Go,
yeah.
Right.
Just because someone's gay that. Doesn't mean they're fashion forward. There are plenty of gay dudes who don't know Olive Drab from their whatever.
I feel like I know Olive Drab.
Hunter Green on the left means you're a daddy. On the right, it means you're an orphan boy looking for daddy.
Yeah, you
I mean,
are.
Imagine you're walking. It's so esoteric. If you're walking
not
around,
like that,
you're, but if you're walking around all night with a color that no one
me.
Knows, and they're like, "What? Hey, how come you're home so early? Nobody realized I was wearing Hunter Green on the right. It's so."
They don't mean,
unnecessarily complicated.
They don't mean daddy as in father. They mean daddy
yeah,
as in...
Yeah, I know what they mean.
Well, thank you, Mr. Science. Mm-hmm. Yeah, we know what all this is.
Okay.
I need someone to be disappointed in me, but also pay my car loan. That's my argument, is that you get a shirt with squares, and then you can have multiple colors on each side.
People jump
so you can put
to conclusions.
Black, red, and blue on your right, and then Kelly green, light pink, and magenta on your left,
Jesus.
And then you're putting a lot out there, you know?
I'd be like, you show up with all these colors, you're like, when do I get to have sex with somebody at the end of the night, like anybody?
Oh.
If you wear red with white stripe on the left, it means you like Jack. If it's on the right, it means you like Meg.
It's like Brian Regan's, like, Cherry's favorite, unless they don't have Cherry, they have Grape. Grape's favorite anyway. Just like that. Oh, yeah, magenta's favorite, but if I don't have a daddy fister, then yeah, like, you know, a daddy Asian boy guy.
It just gets, it's so completely overcomplicated. Blue light with white dots, light blue with black dots, light blue with brown dots, light blue with yellow dots.
I don't think this is real, too, though. I don't think this is something that all gay men abide by, that
they
all know this.
It's not, but I'm just saying this exists out there for people to refer. Dark pink, you're a nipple torturer. On the right, you're the torturee.
I feel like gay men are just like...
They're like, hey, don't touch me there. I'm the torturer, not the torturee.
Come
I'm
on.
Sorry. It's, it, and you
the
think
R kind of looks like an E.
And by the way, with all of these slight variances in color, this place would have to be lit up like a goddamn cathedral. You can't have a dim club. You got everybody going like, is that magenta or light pink with yellow polka dots? Like, well, it's the Willy Wonka gay club in there.
I mean, here in Cleveland, it's not really a nightclub. Like, it's almost like a pavilion. Like, they have the bar part, and then you walk outside, and it's just like a deck area. And then that's It's not really dark or light. It's just a patio.
Deck area, he said, Bill.
Yeah.
Deck area.
Deck area.
Sign those documents.
Yeah. And where are the decks? Oh, they're out back. I have light blue with yellow polka dots on my right-hand side.
I feel like this is just like weed. Like, I'm just regular weed, and then everyone else is just a different strand. Like, what are the different type of flavors of weed? What are the different
names?
They're
all made up.
Flavors.
There are flavors.
Strains?
They taste different. They make you feel different.
Please.
I'm regular.
We've gone over this before.
You don't believe it, but it's 100%
true.
There's two. There's indica and sativa. One makes you happy and awake, and one makes you tired.
But they taste different.
Well, no, there's different flavors that people add to it and things like that. Yeah, but
Alan, what color do you wear for I want you to buy me a Taco Bell franchise? Well, I'll tell you what, that's the really useful one for pound cake is left off that list. All this other nonsense nobody's ever going to
adhere
to.
That one you just show up in a tea kettle.
I'm dressed as a tea kettle and I've got a brown sash.
Tea kettle Taco Bell.
Across my chest.
You put your hand on a hip and one up by your head like an ear. You go, I'm going to have a teapot.
Short and stout. What if you like piggyback porn?
Then you come as Miss Piggy.
Like you're out there doing semaphore, like you're on a Navy aircraft carrier trying to get dudes to land on you.
You are clear for landing.
Yeah. Well, listen, I'll tell you what.
You guys leave my community alone.
You guys are judging from the outside. It seems complicated, that's all.
I'll pull the curtain back here. I did this entire segment to see if I could bait AKA Becky into calling in.
She did not.
And complaining.
Oh, we still got commercial break. Just because she didn't get it during the segment doesn't mean she's not going to call.
All right, well, we'll see.
It's been a while.
To text me anything. No video on the show today. We're having some...
I couldn't even log into the YouTube from my iPad, so...
In-house technical difficulties. So you can listen anywhere throughout North America on the iHeartRadio app. If you do that from outside of Ohio, tell me where, and we'll put you on our map of Bureau Chiefs. Miles and Laura are new listeners in Charleston, South Carolina. Mike listens in Golden, Colorado. AJ's in San Francisco. Mary is in D.C. Doug is in Carlsbad, New Mexico. Jared and Kelly are in Greensburg, PA. So just let me know where you do that. If you go to alancockshow.com, use the keyword Kilt Run. We've got all the information for you to join us coming up on March the 7th. It is the third annual Cleveland St. Patrick's Day 5K run, and then we do a bar crawl afterwards. We do our running. Because it's for a good cause. Mary and I and Doogie will run.
Mm-hmm.
And then we'll hook up with the rest of the RMG crew and Bill and Poundcake, and we'll do some drinking that night.
Whoop,
whoop. Whoop, whoop. So Kilt Run is your search at alancockshow.com.
And there's the Alan Cox Show Instagram Hotties. Volume 4 is up. It's pretty sassy. If you like sassy girls. If you like sassy girls. And if you want to submit to be one of the featured cover models... Cover girls, whatever they are. You can email Bill at AlanCockShow.com.
So the schedule for our bar crawl will be there for you. And if you want to register to run, Cleveland St. Patrick's Day Run.com.
Sorry.
Is where you want to go. Huh?
I thought you were done. Sorry.
I was not.
I noticed.
I'll wait. To benefit the Irish American Charitable Foundation. So a few of us are running, but then afterwards. We'll all hang out and have some pops downtown. So that is March the 7th, if you want to join us for that. I will be getting my polar blast punishment tomorrow morning. We'll film that, and then I'll post it. I have to get my eyebrows and beard dyed jet black. And then Friday, Mary's out tomorrow, and then Friday she'll be back, and Poundcake will do his punishment, which is eating the Carolina Reaper pepper. However he decides he's going to do that. Video of Bill getting his bowl cut from Bobby Kelly is at alancockshow.com.
It's pretty funny. It's pretty funny. My reaction when I finally see it, because I didn't see what was happening the whole time.
Yeah.
And then I finally got on camera and I could see it, and boy, it looked bad. It looks a lot better now.
Yeah, take your hat off or something.
I mean, it's when I have my hat on, it really, really strings it out. So it's really like pressed against my head. It still looks terrible. It's not nearly as bad as it was last week, but it's still really bad.
Now, are you kind of popping it up for shows, or are you combing it forward for the full effect?
I'm leaning into it. I don't wear a hat to shows.
Okay.
Like, I just go in there. Like, Monday I wore a hat, but I didn't wear it when I was on stage.
Yeah.
But you
also... last night I didn't wear a hat on stage. I just kind of... It is what it is.
You also wear hats a lot in general.
I do.
So it's not like you're actively trying to cover something up.
Sometimes I am.
Are you?
Yeah. There's been moments.
What are the moments where you're trying to cover that up?
Like when I was in Columbus, I was trying to cover it up.
Okay.
And also...
Did Bobby Kelly bring it up at all?
Yeah.
Like, I didn't know if you had your hat on. I don't know.
Yeah, because when I went on stage, I took off the hat.
Yeah.
Like in that situation... Where if I'm going to get laughs out of it that I'm generating myself, I'm going to take the hat off because it's funny and I have some stuff that I can say about it and it kills.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's pretty good time. But like when I'm just out doing regular things, I try not to look. More because I don't want to frighten people.
You don't want them to be alarmed?
Yes, to be like, oh, what's this Dylan Roof cosplayer doing here?
They're grabbing their children and running away from you.
Bill Squire's amazing.
One of the funniest f***ing guys ever.
He's not woke at all.
See? If Bill were woke, he wouldn't be walking around with that mentally challenged haircut.
Obviously.
He's not woke at all. He's calling attention to it.
That's right. It's for awareness.
Sunlight is the best disinfectant. Boy, I didn't realize how old Drew Carey is. He's 61.
16? Yeah.
Yeah. I know he's been around a long time. I guess I didn't really think about it. You know, his ex-fiance, who was just murdered by her ex-boyfriend.
Where do they live?
I didn't realize there was such a disparity in their ages. She was 38. This was in Hollywood.
Okay.
And this woman had two...
California or Florida?
Hollywood, California. Had two consecutive restraining orders against this guy. And he waited until the second one elapsed.
If he was going to kill her anyway, why did he wait?
I don't know.
He didn't want to break the law. That is a really strange question. Like, it's like, all right, once this restraining order's up, then you're going to get it. Like, if you're going to
you're going to jail either way.
Well, maybe he didn't go there pretending to kill her.
Yeah,
but
he
did. Maybe.
He pushed her over the balcony or grabbed her or whatever. But Drew Carey is tweeting out a link to it. He's got a petition on change.org calling for an update to domestic violence laws. That's why it's so terrifying. It's got to be a female in a situation where you've got a restraining order because... Legally, you know, law enforcement's like, we can't do anything until the guy does something, and a lot of times it's too late.
It's absolutely infuriating trying to deal with the justice system when it comes to things like that. I've had to do it once in the past where they basically everybody's like, well, he hasn't hurt you yet, so there's nothing we can do. And I'm like, okay, but you do see I have 150 voicemails from this guy.
Right.
He's made 7 different Facebook profiles because I keep blocking them. He's made 26 different Twitter accounts. Like, they're like, well, he hasn't done anything to you.
Yeah, this is a guy who's going to do something.
Like, he showed up to my work 3 separate occasions. And you guys are like, well, until he physically touches you, there's nothing we can do about it.
But because of cyberstalking laws that are going into effect in certain places, I don't know how they are in Ohio yet, That is now being looked at as harassment, whereas in the past wasn't. How long ago was this?
Like 2014.
Okay.
But they say like it's a type of harassment, but it's not. All they can do, they're like, we can go to his house and kind of shake him down and tell him he has to knock it off, but we can't actually do anything.
Well, they need to make those laws stricter.
Yeah. And it's the worst thing, too, because they're like, well, there's no real jurisdiction for it because it's done over the internet. Where were you when these things happened?
And Trump's making Space Force. We need Internet Force.
Well, I was like, what do you mean, where was I? They're like, where were you when you received the phone calls? I'm like, they're voicemails. I was everywhere. I was at work, which is downtown Cleveland. I was at my house, which is in Brook Park, and they're like, well, see, we can't really cross the jurisdictions of, like, they put minimal effort into it. And then even when the person does do something like show up to your workplace, they're like, well, he didn't do anything at your workplace, and it's a public place, so he's allowed to be there.
But he's there to intimidate you.
It's a public bar, he's allowed to be there.
Yeah.
But I didn't realize that, I have no experience with restraining orders, as far as you know. But I didn't realize that orders of protection had expiration dates on them. Mm-hmm.
And if they don't do anything in between, it's almost impossible to get it renewed. Because, like, well, he abided by what we told him to do.
I had no idea there was an expiration on them.
And then guys are like, why are women so against men? Why do all women hate men? Mm-hmm. It's like, because it's impossible for us to feel protected. That's why.
Right. Understood. So anyway,
the scary idiots.
Guy got into her apartment and ended up pushing her over the balcony and... 3 floors up, And Drew Carey, they suspended production for a couple of days on The Price is Right because Drew Carey had to get himself together.
Yeah.
I'm still curious about the situation there. They dated a few years ago, were engaged for like a hot minute, and then broke that off. I'm curious why. It's silly. I mean, who cares? But it was still
seems to work out.
Strange to me.
Was pushed off of a third floor balcony. I'll give you a little backstory. So, she was killed not by Drew, but by the ex. Come on down.
Do you have the sad trumpet?
There's yeah, I do. There's Wendy Williams' amazing take on the situation.
Was pushed off of a third floor balcony. I'll give you a little backstory. So, she was killed not by Drew, but by the ex. Come on down.
No, I meant the Price is Right one.
Oh, the Price is Right one.
Yeah.
Oh,
do you have that one?
See. Yeah, I probably have that one. But we're going to double down on this?
There was a request for this.
Pushed off of a third floor balcony. I'll give you a little backstory. So, she was killed not by Drew, but by the ex. Come on down.
You're saying that,
why are you putting allegedly?
That's what she was missing.
All right, lawyer.
Is that what she was missing?
I'm saying that fits with how poorly that joke was delivered. Like that was a crap joke. So you give it the sad Price is Right.
What if there was more of a
tuba, whatever that's.
What if there was more of a noise from that audience?
Was pushed off of a third floor balcony. I'll give you a little backstory. So, she was killed not by Drew, but by the ex. Come on down.
I mean, you could hear a pin drop in there. It was so she got nothing from that audience.
A host fart.
A host fart. Yeah, she's the one who's always accused of farting, right?
Mm-hmm. Was pushed off of a third floor balcony. I'll give you a little backstory. So, she was killed not by Drew, but by the ex. Come on down.
Someone needs to put the come on down to the video of her falling dressed like the Statue of Liberty.
I wonder what's been going on with her lately, because just in the last, just in 2020, just in the last, you know, 6 weeks that we've been into 2020, she's made fun of like Joaquin Phoenix's cleft lip. She's made fun of the LGBTQ.
She wants to be in the headlines.
And then now she's talking about someone just getting murdered. And that was just like weeks away from each
other. It's because she's got more competition.
But she's always had competition.
Well, that Kelly Clarkson show is like the first bona fide hit in the daytime in like a decade.
I can't believe people are watching Kelly Clarkson.
I'm really surprised. I thought I was like,
she's great.
Here's another daytime show. It's going to go nowhere. But people are watching the Kelly Clarkson show.
She's
doing really well. So Wendy Williams must be trying, you know, the last gasp of whatever.
Like I said, I mean, she's had 10 years. So whatever happens after this, whatever. But 10 years is a long time, and she...
Maybe she feels the walls closing in.
I mean, she's...
She ain't going to go back to radio.
She can if she wants to. Why can't she?
Because where's the room for Wendy Williams?
There's plenty of room.
Where?
If there's room for Ryan Seacrest, there's plenty of room for Wendy Williams.
They're not putting Wendy... Very different. They're not putting... Ryan Seacrest is playing songs.
But they have anybody... 5 second clips. I mean, no offense to the art, but... They have anybody do radio. Like, if you're a pop star and you, Nicki Minaj has a radio show, like, these people can come back and do radio because.
Nicki Minaj doesn't have a radio show.
It's called Queen Radio.
It's on satellite radio.
It's still a radio
show. That's
not
a radio.
It's still a radio. And
no, you don't have to worry. Satellite, you have to worry about ratings. I'm talking about Wendy Williams. Yeah, Wendy Williams could go on satellite where it doesn't matter if anybody's listening. I'm talking about radio where you have to get ratings to know that people are listening to you. To monetize that. There's no room for her anymore. I mean, any radio station that's got more than, you know, this company's sticking the Breakfast Club on there. Ain't no room for Wendy Williams anymore. Okay. I mean, there are other companies.
Yeah, they're not going to show up for her like they did in the past.
Okay. I mean,
and at this
point, she might, but I don't think.
I disagree, but
I'm saying she wouldn't want to. Where would she go radio-wise?
But I'm not saying, I'm sure it would be ideal for her to stay on TV, but she has her millions of dollars. She's single now. If she wants to do Lunchtime with Wendy and do a midday show, she could do that. And she loved the radio because she...
Yeah, but you got to have people listen to your show to stay on. These radio shows that we do, these are not charity events.
But I feel like with a big name like her...
If you're on, it's because you got to get ratings and make money.
But I feel like people... she's a big name and people would listen. People would. I mean, they would. There's a percent. If she had a quarter of her audience that watched her show, listened to her on radio, she would be just fine.
Yeah, but isn't the appeal of her that you're... I can't believe I'm saying this. The appeal of her that you're looking at her? Certainly not the appeal for me.
Well, also the people...
But if you had to listen to that voice just on radio, you'd be like, oh my God. But people did
for years before she got a TV show. 15 years.
That was a long time ago. Radio was very different and television was very different.
But also
then.
She
was on in New York and she was on in Philly.
Still huge markets.
No, but, I understand. I'm just saying she's not going to go back to do radio in New York.
But I feel like she could, the fact that she's out of TV now, she's like, okay, well, I can really be myself. I'm not polished for TV anymore. Like, I can be the real Wendy that you grew to love that got me my show. And it's not like I'm doing this for money. I'm doing this because I want to, and I can be just as filthy and raunchy as I want to be because I have my millions of dollars. And they're not just going to kick me off. Okay.
I'm saying there's not room anymore on radio... This kind of radio, there's not room anymore for super raunchy shows.
Okay.
They don't stay on. That style has gone away because people didn't care anymore.
There's a couple super successful ones on Sirius, though.
Yeah, but again, satellite, don't have to worry about ratings.
But they're still
popular. But I'm just saying, I mean...
So she might be able to still make a living be popular in that type of genre.
I mean, the checks are the same. A check is a check. I don't understand what you mean by saying she doesn't have to worry about ratings. Like, obviously...
Do you understand how satellite radio works?
I do not. That's why I'm asking.
Oh, okay. Well, satellite radio works by... It's a subscription model.
Correct.
It's like HBO. Yeah, HBO, Netflix, they don't have to worry about ratings.
So as long as you're paying into it, then...
Right.
Okay.
And Stern ate up all the money. I mean, over the course of my career here at WMMS, every few years my agent would come to me and go, do you have any interest in satellite? I go, no, I don't. The allure is that you can say whatever you want, mm-hmm. right? But if you're a communicator...
The reality is...
Well, you can say whatever you want. I'm just saying that's not...
But I'm saying that you can say whatever you want, but there's a price you're paying for that.
What do you mean?
Like, if you say whatever you want, but one, you're only talking to people that have that subscription... So you're limiting your audience in that way.
Well, a lot of people do have it. I'm just saying that you don't have to worry about ratings. Like, that's why they'll give anyone a show over there.
Gotcha.
Because they have 1,000 channels. They got to fill them up with something. Yeah. They're like, Jenny McCarthy. Like, yeah, people who've never done radio. If you threw them on a radio station, they would get, nobody would care.
Yeah, I didn't understand Howard Stern meant when he said that. Because he says he's obsessed with the ratings, even though they don't show him what his ratings are. He's like,
I would be too.
They give me a bunch of money. And then I don't know if I'm doing a good job or a bad job because they never tell you what you're worth. They just say, hey, take this pile of money.
Well, I mean, they're not going to re-up you if you're not doing a good job. But I mean, what I'm saying is because Wendy came from radio, I would imagine that she would think that going back to it would be a demotion. Okay. Obviously, she could walk in and do satellite and just sit there and go, you know.
Okay.
But who cares?
Well, the sun rises and sets on everyone's career. So, I mean, she's made her millions. And if she gets canceled... She had a great run.
Run. Boy, I'm telling you, even if you've made a lot of money, you still, the juice is being on. You want to be on. You can't make any.
Go to The View.
She could go on The View.
You know what? That's the move. I want her to go on The View. I want to, that week and a half will be amazing that she's on The View.
Why?
I'm saying that she'll be on for one very exciting week and a half, and then they're going to be like, nah, we can't do this.
Why? They've had worse people on than Wendy Williams.
I don't think.
The thrill is being on, not being rich. If you're rich and you're not on, it's better than the alternative, but who cares? You're not in the news, you're not...
Not being rich and not being on. That's the worst.
You're not on and you're not rich.
I feel like if they canceled her, they would just plop her somewhere else. Like, she would do a whole spot for...
I mean,
like,
she has an audience. She has fans, so she could do something.
She'd go to VH1
or
something.
But I think it's one of those things where she might end up on Netflix doing a show on there.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I mean, there's so many places that need content that she would definitely have a job somewhere, but I don't think it'd be as prevalent as it is right now. But it might be better for her. Because since she's trying to be so goddamn edgy now.
But that's not even edgy. I think she is honestly
just
stuttering over her words and speaking extemporaneously, and then she's like, oh, come on down. Like, I think she was referring to the fact that Drew Carey does The Price is Right, but then...
Oh, was she?
She was trying to make a joke.
I know. And it wasn't... But, like, I don't understand what she's been
thinking. She's explaining it to us.
But if someone's writing that script, like, I'm like... Why
that was not in the script.
Nobody wrote that. That would never make it out of a writer's room.
That's why if you watch the video of that segment, they cut over to the when she mentions she tries to divert attention away and starts talking about the teleprompter, and they cut to her floor producer
and
or whatever.
The lawyer lady, yes, Suzanne,
and the guy's looking like a deer in the headlights, like, oh my god, did you just say that? Whoever her Gelman is, you know,
Norman Gelman.
I'm Norman Gelman, and I approve this message. But I didn't realize that Drew Carey was 61 years old.
Poor guy.
Mm-hmm. Poor guy.
Yeah, he looks great.
No, I'm saying poor guy.
Oh, because of the girl?
Yeah, that he's going
through. Yeah, that's tough.
Yeah, that's tough.
And especially because it's your ex, because you're in kind of in like that place like, yeah, we didn't work out, but I didn't want it to work out this way.
Right. Well, right, with the guy that she was with after you. I mean, oh, God. It's awful.
Still, it would have been just as bad if it was like a car accident or something, but...
No, that's not as bad.
That's by chance. This
being
is a guy who
by
killed
your exes,
her.
Yeah.
You know that part of your brain that regulates good decision-making? Thanks for turning that one off and turning on the Alan Cox Show.
Sorry about all the cocks.
On 100.7.
Sorry about the cocks.
WMMS.
Lamb of God coming too. With a new album on the way. Doing some co-headlining with Megadeth. It's first week of May here in Cleveland. I think. Yeah, something. It'll be good to see those guys again. They got a new drummer, Chris Adler's out. If you're a Lamb of God fan, if you saw them at Sonic Temple, that was a little strange to see someone else behind the drums. If you're not a Lamb of God fan, you don't care about anything I'm saying right now.
Nope.
But that also...
Like Lambert of God.
Lambert of God.
Yeah, that's Lamb of God
Adam
with
Lambert?
Adam Lambert. Yeah, he's the...
I like
that.
He's the front man.
Yeah.
I like when they do the music from the Highlander films, Lambert of God.
Mm. Oh, I like Lamb of God smack.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. Good for you. Mm-hmm. Anywho. Boy, I'll tell you what. I've said it before, and it remains true. I can set my watch by my dumps.
Ooh.
Good for you.
I'm extraordinarily regular. I've got one in the morning, I've got one pre-show, and I've got one post-show.
I don't think I've pooped in a few days.
I'm about one in the morning, one in the evening. That's where I stay, except for on Friday, where it was any slight movement may have triggered something. I didn't even explain how sick I was last week.
Gross sick?
It was real gross. I woke up, I went to bed around 11:30. We're going to get on the road early so I could do the show. So I could be back and, you know, my girlfriend could relax and wouldn't have to rush. So we're in bed at 11, like asleep at 11. 12:30, I shoot up out of bed and I'm like, I got to puke. And I run to the bathroom, start puking, and that's not all.
While you were on the floor?
I was puking and I'm like, uh-oh, got to switch this up. So then I got the garbage can. And it's both ending.
That's the quickest you're going to move.
Yeah.
I've done that before where you're sitting on the toilet and then you got to flip around real quick. Yeah.
It was so bad. It was so bad. And then just the puking stopped around noon, and then it was just diarrhea for the rest of the day.
Gross.
Just like water, though. Just all water. And then like I'd sneeze, poop my pants.
Ew!
It's terrible.
What did you eat?
I went to Grandpa's Cheese Barn and got samples, and I think that's what did it.
Really?
I think it was the samples at Grandpa's Cheese Barn.
They're sitting out all day.
Yeah, I was there. And
they are cheese.
Right.
Mm-hmm. So yeah. I went there, and then we went to a hot dog place. And so it was either the hot dog place.
Grandpa's Hot Dog Barn?
It was the hot dog place, or it was Grandpa's Cheese Barn. But I think it was Grandpa's Cheese Barn, because I don't think... We went to the hot dog place at like 10. So I don't
PM?
Think. Yeah, I don't think it
happens that fast.
I don't think it happens that fast.
Alan says that it does, but I mean, working in a restaurant, they say foodborne illnesses take 18 to 24 hours to kick in.
So then, if it's 18 to 24 hours, it could have been anything else too.
But see, but he's also said there's been times where you eat something and you feel sick pretty immediately.
Yeah, and I feel like I've had both.
Yeah,
but I feel like it was probably Grandpa's Cheese Barn where there was something that I was going through the samples and I got something that was not properly refrigerated or something, and
Is there any kind of cheese barn disclaimer when you walk in? Like, hey.
Cheese at your own risk.
Yeah, when you're walking in here, these premises are under surveillance. And also, caveat emptor, whatever. But my pre-show dump today, it was another one of those situations where I freaked out for a second because I forgot that I had a beet salad last night. And so it was all red. Yes. And every time I do it, I don't know why I don't get it through my head because I'm not obviously thinking in that moment about what I had for dinner.
Mm-hmm.
But then I flipped out.
Yeah, I bet.
For maybe a second or so.
And then you're like, oh yeah, okay. I'm fine.
Well, when we have Dr. Ryan Berglund in here, and he's going to be in here next Friday for Is It Red? He always says, you know, some guys will call him and go, hey, I got a little blood in my pee. And he goes, well, it might be something, might be nothing. But never ignore blood in your stool. Never.
Never.
Especially if it's dark.
Well, okay.
Yeah, because what if it's
so when
just
I turn
like,
around, I'm like, whoa, what? I'm dying. And then I go, oh, beet salad last night.
Beet salad.
Yeah, there you go.
The classic.
A beauty of being lactose intolerant is that if I do get backed up, I can just fix that. But I'm in a lot of pain. A lot of pain.
With cheese?
No, with like ice cream or sour cream or ranch or milk.
What a delicious way to fix your problem.
You think.
You know,
but
other
problems. Really? Monday night, I went out with my sister and my niece.
You get cramps from ice cream?
It is. No. Ice cream makes me throw up. It just like at the Christmas party when I ate all that sour cream on those pierogies.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Dude, I couldn't. I had to unbutton my pants. My stomach looked like I was 6 months pregnant because I was so bloated and it was so hard and uncomfortable that I was just sitting there and I was like, I can't breathe. I can't move. My stomach hurts so bad. My cramps are unbearable. And then that lasts for like 2 hours. And then once your body kind of starts to try to process it, then it's just flushes everything
out.
Yeah,
I see. I love ice cream, though. I can't have it as often as I like, but I love ice cream. If I was lactose intolerant and had ice cream and was vomiting, I'd still think it was worth it.
No, it's not.
It's still worth it.
It's throwing
so
up.
Delicious going down.
Yeah. If you're fine with
I feel like that's
up,
best
that's
of both
fine.
Worlds. You get to eat the ice cream, but you don't get the calories.
Yeah.
There you go.
Well, they have, I mean, there's Mitchell's, actually. Their vegan ice cream flavors are some of the most creamy that I've ever tasted. That are like the consistency.
427.
So they're like the consistency of it is as close to like real ice cream. And there's
those won't jam you up.
No, because they're made with like almond milk or uh-huh. coconut milk uh-huh. or things like that. There's a tiny little ice cream spot in Brick Park called Charlie and Tango's too, that their vegan flavors, I don't know what they do, but it's like the first bite I took one time of their mint chocolate chip one, I was like, oh, this is not a, like, I thought I was eating regular ice cream. It was so good.
Yeah, because they're getting pretty sophisticated with that
yeah.
stuff now.
So
they're figuring
not,
it out.
Yeah.
It's one of those things too where you, when you're trying to find those alternatives, you're like, okay, I'm looking for that thing. But when you have a bad one, there's nothing more upsetting than you're like, okay, I found a vegan ice cream or like a keto-friendly ice cream.
I wanted a vegan mac and cheese.
And you're excited about it, and you take a bite, and it's just like, this isn't even food!
Right. This is not even close to what I mm-hmm. wanted. I wanted a vegan mac and cheese the other day, and I just like looked up on Yelp, just type in vegan mac and cheese near me, and a bunch of different places show up. Like, I want to taste it just, ugh. And I understand, it's not going to taste like you want it to taste. It's not going to be as creamy and delicious. Same with vegan cream cheese.
You never
tastes
know.
Tastes like Play-Doh.
And you never know until you're eating it. Like
yeah,
some vegan
it looks
stuff.
The same.
Some vegan stuff tastes awesome, like the ice cream.
Yeah.
Others, you're like, yep, missed the mark.
Mm-hmm.
And there's no way to know until you're eating it.
I was craving, when I was traveling a couple weeks ago, I wanted an onion bagel with cream cheese and salt and pepper. That's all that I wanted. And I was like, had a craving for it. Went to a vegan bakery.
You put lox on that thing?
No, I just wanted the cream cheese. And, I got vegan cream cheese, and it looked like creamy. I was like, oh, God, this is going to be so good. And then it tastes like I was chewing on Play-Doh. It was so bad.
Yeah.
So upsetting.
Isn't Don Jameson a vegan or something?
Yeah, I think he was.
Aren't
vegan.
You a vegan, Don?
Vegetarian, please.
he's offended that I threw him into the vegan territory. But you don't eat meat. Isn't it just like one more step to completely divest yourself of animal products altogether?
Dairy, my friend, dairy.
Dairy.
What runs this country? The dairy farms. I still eat dairy.
All right, take it easy, Joaquin.
so you're out there striking a blow for the American dairy farmer.
Well, you know, I'm just doing my part to eat as much cheese as possible. And I think Mary's problem was she got one of those gluten-free bagels, because everything that's gluten-free sucks.
Probably.
Well, yeah, well, what precipitated the conversation is that we think that Bill's recent bout of food poisoning was started by some wayward cheese.
Yeah, wayward cheese has been the start of a lot of people's intestinal problems. So,
but a great Kansas album.
Wayward Cheese was on that. They were on that metal cruise you were just on, weren't they? Wayward Cheese.
Yes, they played on the pool deck.
Yeah,
second night they were good, very good.
Don Jameson is. I follow him, of course, on Instagram. And I'll tell you what, it's Don Jameson Official, and he's posting all these photos from that Monsters of Rock cruise. I don't know where it went. Was it the Caribbean, or where did that go?
Yeah, we went to Belize, and we went to Cozumel.
It just looks like so much fun, which sounds ridiculous to say. It sounds obvious, but it just looked, and you being you and hanging with these bands, it just looked like a blast.
Yeah, that's like the one place in the world where I'm like Channing Tatum.
Right.
Because it's all rock fans and stuff. So, you know, that's, but, you know, it's like a regular cruise, you know, but instead of Hawaiian shirts and shuffleboard and Mai Tais, it's, you know, Winger shirts, Jaeger shots, and public urination.
Yeah, and Kip Winger himself, yeah? Didn't he pop up in one of those photos?
Nothing better than to perform on the Monsters of Rock cruise. Do my best Kip Winger joke while Kip Winger's in the room.
So let me ask you this. Were you guys, this was the first week of February, were you guys out in the high seas? Were you getting word of the coronavirus on other cruises, or were you blissfully unaware of what was going on otherwise?
Yeah, you know, Alan, I've had a 20-plus year career in comedy by being blissfully unaware of almost everything. So
yeah, that's
I
good.
Apply that to all facets of my life.
I like that. Good for you.
Yeah, what am I going to do? I'm not going to go on the Monsters of Rock cruise. I'm not going to see Crocus for the last time ever. I mean, come on.
Yeah, no.
Coronavirus Crocus.
Right. Not even that. I feel like that's when the news broke of it, or was it before February? Am I misremembering? You know, of course you're going to go out there. I mean, listen, you figure that's a crowd that has probably inoculated themselves from so many transmitted diseases that nothing, they're impervious. They're bulletproof out there.
Yeah, like the coronavirus, if it came anywhere near our ship, it was like, it was afraid of catching us.
Yes, mm-hmm. They laugh at the coronavirus. Of course. Hey, Don Jameson's new album, by the way, is going to drop on Friday. It's called Denim and Laughter, which is a nice tip of the hat if you're a fan of the band Saxon. And you're boys with those guys, yeah? Whoever's left in that band?
Yeah, it's mostly the original guys. And, so I took their classic album. And like I do with all my comedy albums, I pick one of my favorite bands, and I steal all their artwork and logos and creativity and make it my own.
Yeah. And they're on board with that. Saxon's one of those bands, boy, when... You know, a lot of when I was a kid, I was listening to Maiden and King Diamond and Priest and all those bands. And Saxon was kind of up there with them for a while. And then I don't know what happened. Like, they're still out there and still making records. But Saxon, I don't know what happened to them. They kind of flatlined while all the other bands were on a rocket ride.
Yeah, they're one of those bands that they kept touring a lot in Europe and stuff, you know, and you get comfortable over there. And they just didn't, the grunge period in America, they just couldn't kind of, you know, keep up the pace. But then they started coming back in the 2000s and still making albums. But, of course, Denim and Leather is their classic album that most people would know. And, you know, I'm going to go out on tour with the singer of that band. And when I sell my CDs after the show, I'm hoping people think I'm selling Denim and Leather, and I'll get a whole bunch of accidental sales.
Yeah, right. They'll be like, oh, this is the remastered version? Yes, it is. enjoy. Yes, yeah, so have you toured the UK before? You're doing like 2 months in the United Kingdom and Germany and France and Switzerland and all that.
Yeah, I've been to a lot of those places. I never performed there. So, I mean, my jokes barely work in America, so I'm not sure how it's going to go over there.
What if you kill over there consistently? Like, you're a funny dude, but what if you get over there and you're like, you know, there are some comics who are in a situation over here where they're like, yeah, people kind of like me here, but then they go overseas and people love them. What if you're like the toast of the town in Belgium? You know, it's a nice corollary. It's a nice corollary to some of these 80s bands who are like, oh, it's the old joke. We're huge, big in Japan or whatever. What if you end up being like the favorite comedian in the Netherlands?
Yeah, I could be like, you know, I could be the David Hasselhoff of Belgium. Yeah, and then I can tell my grandkids, I went to Belgium with 30 euros in my pocket and a handful of jokes, and look at me now.
Look at me now. That's why we're living in Hamburg, because I'm huge in Germany. They love me over here. Yeah.
Yeah. I see it as a win-win, Alan.
Yeah, good for you. Denim and Laughter is going to be out on Friday. You do That Jameson Show. You know, people remember Don from that metal show with Eddie Trunk and Jim Florentine, and then that kind of went away over on VH1. But That Jameson Show is kind of a resurrection of that vibe.
Right. Once again, stealing the logo and the music and everything else from something else. And
yeah.
Making it my own. But yeah, I'm sort of like, keeping the spirit alive, kind of like when Tony Iommi had like those 19 different singers in Black Sabbath, like in those middle years, you're like, okay, who's in this week? You didn't know. But, you know, then eventually Ronnie James Dio came back, Ozzy came back. So, you know, I'm hoping, Alan, it's the year of the rock reunion 2020, right? You got Rage Against the Machine coming
yes.
back. You got Motley, My Chemical Romance. Maybe, just maybe, they throw us three Jersey schlubs a bone and bring back that metal show.
I was going to say, this is we've talked about it because there's a lot of shows not only on the road, but we can't count on every tour coming to Cleveland, and they're all coming to Cleveland, like Rage and Korn and Primus and the Foo Fighters. I mean, 2020 is going to be an unbelievable. The Stones are coming here, an unbelievable year for rock and roll tours, but metal tours specifically.
Right, and the thing is, with all these bands, and this is making me crazy at this point, because these bands are all, they're on these final tours, they're farewell tours, they're all this, they're all that. And what happens? They always come back. I predicted Motley Crue would be back. I said it to Mick Mars right to his face on that metal show, and not in a nasty way. I said, I believe you guys believe you're done. But, you know, when you're sitting on the sidelines for a couple of years, you start to get the itch again. And sure enough, Mick said on our show, you know, if we ever do come back, free tickets for the whole world. Well, I sent that clip out on my Twitter, and I had no idea the whole world was going to respond and ask Mick for free tickets. So.
Oh, yeah, he had to, because of your tweet, he had to publicly retract his comments as saying he was goofing.
Right, yeah, and then he blocked me, so I probably won't be going to the tour.
So you're not even getting free tickets.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, the rest of the world will. I won't.
But it's not your fault. He said it. He made a dopey comment like that. And it's like, you know, it's all marketing when Kiss has been doing their farewell tour for 25 years. So it's, you know, why go the extra mile and say, we're never, ever, ever going to do it again when everybody knows that you're probably going to do it again?
Oh, they're definitely, because now Twisted Sister's on the clock. I'm predicting 2022 reunion for them.
Okay.
And Slayer 2025. Because what else are these guys going to do? What, are they going to all become accountants now?
Right.
No. You know, they're musicians. They're rock stars. Get on the stage and do what you do. They're late night talk show hosts and radio guys are making fun of the Stones being old in the late 1980s, and they're still playing good.
Right.
That's what they should be doing. If Keith Richards walked into WNIS looking for a job, they'd be like, get this homeless guy out of here.
Yeah. Who was that? But the guys in Twisted Sister, they're not all alive. J.J. French, who's the guy that died? J.J. French?
The drummer, A.J. Piero, died.
A.J. Piero died.
The rest of the band's still there. They still, you know, D. Snyder is 61 or 62. He's got six-pack abs. I haven't had a six-pack since I was 11.
Yeah, D. Snyder has kept himself in amazing shape, and I feel like that's the trick. Like, nobody's going to look at you and go, oh, you're old. If you look, now again, the Rolling Stones aren't fat because they're running around for 2.5 hours a night, but they're old. But yeah, Dee Snyder has kept himself in unbelievable shape.
Yeah, so Dee should be out singing. But, you know, these guys wanted to still do it at a big level, and I understand that. When you perform for 30,000 people, 50,000, 100,000, I'm speaking from experience. You know that, Alan. I mean,
yes, of course. I've seen you.
It's rare when I perform for less than 100,000 these days.
Of course. Rock and Rio. Don Jameson was front and center.
But, yeah, you miss it. And look, and I said to Mick on the show, I go, when you guys come back, I will be there. So I will be there when Twisted comes back. I will be there when Slayer comes back. And I will be there because Kiss is already talking back that this is the farewell tour. So I'll be there for the next farewell tour.
Now, Slayer is not one that I would put my money on coming back. You think they're going to come back too?
Alan, name the band that's not done it. Name the band that has not come back.
Yeah, but didn't they say that they were done because they kind of had to be because Tom was just like his body's just breaking down or he's sick or something? Or
I saw the last tour. He was great, man.
Wow. You know? Okay.
You know, you don't have to do, you know, you don't have to, and all these farewell tours are like 3 years long. So, I mean, it's, you know, it's kind of like three more tours when you really think about it. They just do like a handful of shows, do 10, 15 shows a year. You know, it doesn't have to be so,
rigorous.
You know, because now even when you retire, even when you die, you don't retire because now you can make, they can make a hologram of you.
Yeah, it's true. Coxtradamus is buried in the sands of Jamaica, but Rockstradamus goes by Don Jameson. He's predicting all these bands already coming back. Bodies aren't even cold yet, and he's predicting they're coming back. Don Jameson's new album is Denim and Laughter, and it's going to be out on Friday. And then he's going to be doing a UK tour starting in April. That Jameson show. Go to compoundmedia.com for the info on that. He's real Don Jameson. Next time he tweets something crazy, you'll see him there. I was like catching up with you, brother.
Yeah, you too. And hello, Bill and Mary Santora and Co. Period.
That's
good,
right.
Here's your man. Co, good luck with the new album.
All right, we'll see you next time you're in town, okay?
Yeah, I'll have spring dates coming up soon, man. I'll let you guys know.
All right, man. Take care. All right, there is Don Jameson. The new album going to be out on Friday, Denim and Laughter. And then, you know, Slayer coming back. All right. I would not have predicted that. All the other ones,
say for sure.
I'm right there with you. Slayer?
All right.
But his record speaks for itself. Yeah. Orange, blue, green, yellow, red, red, yellow.
Says Deidre.
He's just trying to keep track of all the gay stuff he likes.
Yeah. It's not hard for me to do.
Green, yellow, light pink.
All of the above.
All the above. 35192, want to send me a text. If you are a podcast listener and can't join the show live, you can still check in anytime you like. The Alan Cox Show After Hours line is always available to you. That is 216-986-8903. Got some sperm news here in a minute.
Mm.
Well, I, you know, I've said this before, just speculating, but it turns out that I might be right that Northeast Ohio, generally, and Cleveland specifically, we are going to be the center of the universe once climate change really kicks in.
Why?
Because of climate change migration. You're starting to see the first groups of people have to move because of climate change. People from like the Gulf Coast. All these places along the coasts where millions and millions of people are going to be displaced because of climate change, because of flooding or temperature variations or whatever. And they have run these through artificial intelligence models to show where people are going to show up. And we're going to be in great shape in Ohio, right? Weather is going to be beautiful. We're not going to be inundated by with people from nearby, you know, those people are going to push inland, but not so far inland.
That they're up here. We got a fresh water source for the most part.
Oh, come on.
If you take out, like, the shopping carts and stuff.
Yeah, take the shopping carts out. That's a good, yeah. Cities like Atlanta and Dallas are going to get a lot of people moving inland. You know, when large swaths of New York are underwater, those people will move west. But we're going to be in great shape in Ohio. So for people who, Ohio.
Like, we're just going to benefit from it? Like, we're just going to get a little warmer?
It's just going to be
a little nice, maybe a little stinkier.
Nobody's going to want to live in California that much because these places are all, in addition to being beset by uninhabitable conditions weather-wise, they're all super expensive. So you already have people, you know, people are getting priced out of cities.
Oh, man.
That's why the suburbs are coming back, because people are getting priced out of cities.
I love telling people that, like, when comics come to town, I'm telling them I bought a condo. They're like, oh, cool. Where's that? And I'm like, Lakeview over there. And they're like, oh, man, what? And I'm like, yeah. They're like, how much does that cost? I'm like, you have no idea how affordable it is.
Well, sure. I tell people even just my rent.
Yeah.
When my one friend, she was moving back from New York to Minneapolis and stopped in Cleveland for a few days. And she's like, you don't have to tell me if you don't want to, but how much do you pay for this apartment? My apartment's probably like 650 square feet. And I was like, 580. And she's like, $580 a month. I was like, yeah. And she was like, my entire apartment in New York City was the size of your kitchen, and I paid $2,000 a month for it. And then I didn't believe her. But when I went to New York, and I saw how small these places were, like my one buddy's living in a room of a four-bedroom apartment that's just a hallway with rooms, and then this tiny little living area that's your kitchen and your living
room. That's why you have a couch in front of the stove.
Well, yeah, that's exactly what it was. Yeah. There was 4 feet between the couch and the stove, and that was it. And he was paying $950 a month for one bedroom in a four bedroom apartment. And I was like, man, it makes it so hard to leave. Like, why would you ever want to go anywhere else?
Well, that's
because eventually you can make more money. You know, it's one thing to make, like, if you're $2,000 is a lot of money to some people.
Well, she was a writer. She was a writer on a show. So she's making
good money.
More than that.
Right.
Yeah.
She's making good money, but that's still a lot of money to pay for a little tiny apartment.
Oh, yeah.
Once you start making, like, a ton of money, you're like, well, I want to live wherever I want.
Yeah.
That's why people will pay you such ridiculous prices in New York.
And
LA.
Also, if you lose that gig, and you're still on the hook for whatever rent is. Yeah.
She lost the gig, and then she was like, well, I got to move. There, she's like, I guess I'll move back to Minneapolis, because I'm not staying here. Like, I'm not going to live in New York. And she was like, I'm not going to live in New York and not have a job. Like, she's had money saved up, but she's like, forget that. Not paying $2,000 a month to live in a city I don't even like.
And that's why more and more people, like friends of mine who are in New York but eventually left, they're like, even the vibe of living in New York is different.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Because everything's kind of getting sanitized, and it doesn't have that same kind of vibe to it anymore. So why am I going to pay all this money?
Well, it's an island of millionaires in Manhattan.
It's getting that way.
So that's a ridiculous place to live.
It's been that way for a while.
And then you have, like, the boroughs are getting, that's where all the personality is, but even those are getting
priced out.
Gentrified and priced out, yeah.
I stayed with my one girlfriend in Astoria in Queens, and I loved that place so much. She lived right by a park. I think it was called Astoria Park. She lived right next door. Like, you walked out her front door, and it was right there.
I was 3 blocks away.
She was like, her compromise, she's like, yeah, you can stay with us the whole 10 days you're here. Just walk our dog. And I was like, oh, nice. Yeah, absolutely. And they had, like, a 2-bedroom apartment that I think she said was, like, $2,800 a month. But it was, like, perfect. Like, just with all the restaurants.
How long have they been there, though?
I don't know.
Because that's one of the things where
it was probably the size of my apartment, but it was 2 bedrooms.
Right, but it's one of those things where they probably got locked in there a few years ago, and then it keeps jumping. Like, every year you don't go there,
rent control.
Rent's going to jump a lot.
Okay, so like, once you live there, like, it doesn't go up?
Well, you can lock yourself into a price, at least. Or you can find a place that is rent controlled, like.
But I was blown away because she's like, "Yeah, stay with us. We have a guest room." And I was like, "How the hell do you have a guest room living in New York City?" But it was beautiful.
Well, we're gonna be sitting pretty once Boston and New Orleans are underwater, and
especially with all my plants. I have plants for air.
You're up on the ninth floor.
Yeah. Man. You're killing it.
You're going to be...
Bring on the water. I'll still be okay. My car will be underwater in the garage, but, you know.
I'll be underwater. But that's fine.
You're far enough from the lake. You should be okay.
Right.
I just don't know how people are okay with having... there'd be more rats than people in New York. Like, I don't understand.
We can't do anything about that.
But you cannot live there. That's what you can do. I mean, it's the great equalizer. Like, no matter how rich or poor you are... You got rats. Like, I don't want to buy a $35 million apartment.
Also depends on what you do, too.
No, everyone does it. Everyone has rats.
No, but I'm saying if you are, you know, if you get a job with Saturday Night Live, you can't live in Omaha.
But that sucks. Well, you could live in New Jersey. You can live right across the river.
There's still rats.
Yeah, there's still rats
in Jersey.
And then what you're doing is you're not paying that much less for an hour plus commute every day.
And once it starts to get, that's how those other suburbs or those other cities, you know, a buddy of mine, when he went to go work for a radio station in New York years ago, he went across the river to live in Clifton, New Jersey, right? But that was super expensive, too, because everybody had the same idea.
Right. Mm-hmm.
Let's leave New York and go to Jersey. So then those towns, people start getting priced out. You got to move further.
Like Hoboken and Jersey City, all expensive.
Next thing you know, you're living in Haddonfield and friggin' commuting.
We stay here and commute to New York.
Isn't Staten Island
They build that goddamn Hyperloop like they say they're going to.
I want the Hyperloop.
Hyper. I don't even know what I'm cheering
Cleveland
for.
To Chicago, 20 minutes. Let's make it happen, man. You want to prove to me you're some genius, Elon Musk? Worrying about Mars and your stupid electric car. Let's get this Hyperloop going.
Could the human body even endure that?
Yeah, it's pressurized. I mean, Cleveland is spending money on the research portion of this. I mean, I think that's a way to get yourself some money in the coffers. Is go, oh, we're going to do a study on
people
this.
People are going to die.
And then it never goes anywhere.
They've
tested these. Yeah. In Europe, they've got these super trains that go, 200 miles an hour. People aren't dying on those. The TGV in France.
Isn't Staten Island the most affordable borough, though? Like, why don't people just move to Staten Island?
Because it sucks.
Why is it frowned upon?
Because it's super far away.
It's so far away, you can't
Everything else is far away, too.
Right, but do you understand that you are... not just on an island, you are on an island that you can only get to the city on a ferry. So it's not convenient.
Oh, you can't do it by no bridge?
There's not a bridge, there's not a train.
Why do they have it like that?
Because it's...
Why is it even a part of New York City then?
I don't know, it's just... I mean, a lot of people don't think it is.
Because I always wonder what was the stigma? They're like, oh, you're not a New Yorker, you're from Staten Island, there's a big difference. I was like, there is?
People big time in each other.
Yeah, there's that too. But it's really hard to get there.
They used to say that about people in Brooklyn until Brooklyn all of a sudden started being cool.
Mm-hmm.
But why would they make it a ferry?
People differentiate between being from Akron and Cleveland all the time. They're like, oh, I live in...
Because
you're from Cleveland? They're like, no, I'm from Akron. Like, I mean, it's an hour
Is that
away.
Civic pride?
It might be, but people do that like out of town. From Akron.
I ask people if they're from like the area, mm-hmm. I mean like... the whole area. Because to me, it might as well all be one space. They go, oh, you from here? They go, no, I'm from Akron. I go, okay, I mean, like, you're not from Lincoln, Nebraska.
Right. Well.
The proper way to answer that is, I live in Akron.
Yeah.
Are you from here? Yes, I live in Akron.
Right.
Yeah, I lived in Akron.
I lived in both, and the gay scene's better in Akron, but...
better than what?
Than Oberlin?
Than Cleveland.
Oh, Cleveland.
The Akron gay scene is better than Cleveland.
The Akron gay scene is pretty lit. I'm not even going to lie. Yeah.
Because it's a college town.
I was going to say, because of the college?
Well, yeah, because, I mean, the Akron...
Gee, if only Cleveland had colleges. Anywho.
They're not as good, though. That's what I'm saying. So it's not probably just because of the college.
All right, well, listen. What do you want from me? All right, I got sperm news.
Sperm news!
The Boy Scouts filed for bankruptcy.
What?
Because decades of sexual abuse lawsuits have started to form, and once the dam broke, if you will, all these people are coming out and saying that awful, awful things happened to them, and the Boy Scouts, analogous to the Catholic Church, if you will, mounting legal costs over lawsuits filed by victims of sexual abuse.
Well, they should have been prepared.
Yeah, how prepared were you?
That's their whole motto. What's the Scout motto? Be prepared.
No, they weren't.
Well, I think that was from Lion King, is what you're thinking.
They were prepared.
That was Scar's song.
For a lot of things.
He was a Boy Scout.
They weren't prepared for this.
Well,
I was a Cub Scout. I was never a Boy Scout.
What's
I'm
the difference?
An Eagle Scout.
And nothing untoward ever happened to me as a Cub Scout. I bailed before I got to the Boy Scout level. But the Boy Scouts of America have filed for bankruptcy protection.
Boy Scouts sold popcorn?
So many people have come out and said that they were abused. Close to 300 people in 30-plus states. They said it'll be far larger in terms of the number of victims and far more complicated than anything we've seen so far involving the Catholic Church. Those bankruptcies involved individual dioceses, or archdiocese. This involves victims from all 50 states. Wow. We're looking at thousands of abuse survivors making claims. I certainly hope that this doesn't mean that I can't still enjoy the Canteen Boy sketch on Saturday Night Live when that shows up in reruns.
You absolutely can.
All right. Alec Baldwin, Adam Sandler.
Mm-hmm. I mean, it's a classic.
One Louisiana man kept his secret for 60 years. Finally called a lawyer once this story broke to tell his story.
Wow.
He was a 14-year-old Boy Scout in Louisiana working on an astronomy merit badge when the scoutmaster invited him to go by the lake and look at the stars. I was very naive, but when he grabbed my groin, I reacted. So did the scoutmaster. This man now is 73 years old, the victim. He said the scoutmaster threatened me with a machete. I never told anyone. So there you go. Boy Scouts.
I'm lucky. I was in Boy Scouts. Nothing happened.
Couldn't happen to a nicer organization.
What does he even say to that? He's like, you want to go check out Orion's belt? And then you hear just like clink, clink, clink,
yuck,
clink. He's like, I'm doing his belt.
Zip.
Why do they call it?
It was damaging to their image and their brand, so they conspired.
Did you say Orion?
Orion.
Jesus. This guy over here.
Orion.
You son of a bitch.
Was damaging to their image and their brand, so they conspired to keep it secret.
I think that the thing that bothers me most is they could have stopped it. The Boy Scouts does so much good for so many young kids. It's not a bad organization. It was run poorly. I want my childhood back. I want my adulthood back. It changed my life.
Man. Why can't dudes keep their hands off kids?
Did you think they were worried about having gays in there?
Right, and it's one of those things, too. Well, the gays would have ratted him out. That's why they didn't want him there.
Yeah.
Be like, hey.
I saw Ryan down by the lake.
I don't know. I didn't learn how to make this fire. I was out
He back. Said he was going to show me the Big Dipper.
I was already flaming. you're tying your scarf wrong. Now I'm tying my scarf right. You're tying your scarf.
You put it through that little thing. And
first of all, it's called a neckerchief.
Yeah, neckerchief.
Why do you wear yours to the side like that? Like, because I want to.
God, I hated getting in that whole Cub Scout getup.
Dude, I hated every minute of it.
The neckerchief on. And I remember when my son was younger and was in the Cub Scouts, and I would go and we'd do the Pinewood Derby and the regatta and all that stuff. And the grown men who were the scout leaders, I mean, they were nice guys. They were dads of his friends. You know, there's nothing untoward there. But these guys, grown men in these, and again,
they dress
in
up,
the uniforms.
You know, they're in the khaki thing because you have to. I mean, but I was like, oh, God. But they were really into it.
Like the above the knee flat front shorts.
Dude.
Yes.
I changed our uniform. I said, I'm not wearing those. I said, I'm like, there's no reason that we should have to wear these shorts that come
above
just
your knee.
They're not even just above our knee. They were like hot pants almost. They were so short.
You're like, what am I training for the postal service?
This is like the 90s too, where like baggy shorts were the thing. Mm-hmm. So I'm like, if we can get some, and I got them to let us wear cargo pants.
Mm-hmm. You're like the like cargo Scouts.
Like the ones like that zipped shorts off at the knee?
Exactly. That's
Bill
exactly
Squire
what we got.
Changed
The Boy Scouts of the
sartorial tone of the Boy Scouts.
Troop 503.
503. I was 314. Wow.
Yeah. I was like, why? We don't have to wear the clothes they're trying to sell us. We can all just get the same pants and wear those as long as we're all wearing the same thing, right? And they're like, yeah. I'm like, then we should wear this. And that's what we ended up wearing. It was nice.
For you.
And they made, and they were great pants for what we needed them for.
Yeah,
like
you had
for camping,
pockets and
for camping,
somewhere
wearing
to put your twine.
Right.
I would have liked
knives?
I would have liked longer pants because I was
they zipped off, Alan.
I was beaten up by the other members of my troop with some regularity, and so if it happened, or in the, you know, in the,
you, man, you were picked on as a kid. Huh?
Of course,
you got beat up by other kids in the book.
I did. I vividly remember
that like the nerds.
I was tiny. I was a tiny kid.
I didn't get bullied by the nerds.
I don't know what to tell you.
That's he also got bullied by the chess team.
I remember getting rolled on the front lawn while the den mother was in the house. I vividly remember her, like, you know, she'd turn around and say something. They'd be all like, beep, like standing up straight. And then she'd go back in the house and they'd start rolling me around like a soccer ball again. But
so I
would have been nice to have longer pants so I didn't get all the grass burns on my knees, Bill. Mm. In Troop 314.
Made you the man you are today.
I guess so. I don't know what
Can you throw that into the lawsuit? Be like, I was just regular bullied. They're like, oh, you're a super nerd.
Yeah. Well, I don't know what to tell you. I mean,
I was, like, my parents made a rule in our family that you had to be in the Boy Scouts and you had to get your Eagle Scout if you wanted to get your driver's license. So that's the only reason that I was
hella
in
lame.
It.
Man,
and then
so
it was like
was in your family.
Really, really connected to the church at the time. So like the Mormon Church, the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints, and the Boy Scouts, like they worked together a lot. And so I was like forced to be in it. But what I never understood was the other kids that were from Medina that weren't in our troop. They were in another troop because there was like two from Medina. And I'm like, I know why I'm here. I'm forced to be here. What are you doing here? Why are you guys in the Boy Scouts?
Did you guys have like a Jets and Sharks thing? Because you're both from Medina.
No, because like I was friends with them, so it was cool to see them at like when we go to camp for the week.
But you just questioned.
But I'm like, why are you here though? Like no one's forcing.
They wanted to be. They wanted to be. Some kids are into that.
And I was like, but why?
Because they want to be in nature and learn how to tie knots. I hated it so much. Or whatever.
It's such like boring nature.
I don't even know why I did it. I think my parents wanted me to do it because a bunch of kids like in my class were doing it, and I was like,
is it like to make friends? Maybe.
No, they were all people I knew. It was just like, why am I doing
it? Junior, ruined camping for me.
When I did Junior Achievement, that was like to meet other people. You guys remember Junior Achievement?
It sounds familiar. No, that was like competitions.
That sounds like something from like the olden days.
No. It might be. It was like a thing where you kind of learned, you created a product and then like sold it door to door.
Yeah.
Try to teach kids about business.
Yeah.
It may not even be a thing anymore, but I did JA that. For a few years.
I did like...
And that was meeting new people.
Now it's called like Junior Influencer.
Yeah.
Can you buy my protein powder?
I never did like Girl Scouts or anything like that, but I was always in like school-based extracurriculars.
Well, that's because you didn't want to go home.
Yeah, also that, but I was like smart. I was a really smart kid, so I would get into things where we would like... Like, everyone makes it like the mathletes. Whatever.
You.
But they were. They'd be like after school programs where you and other kids would do like, there'd be like a math portion, a science portion, and whatever, a physics, whatever it might be. And you like would go to other schools and compete against other kids in these like academic based competitions.
Were you ever on that one?
I was a spelling bee nerd.
That was the only thing I ever did.
Yeah.
Until I got into sports, but.
Were you on that show that.
Academic Challenge.
Yeah.
I wasn't on it. I didn't make the cut. I wasn't smart enough to be on the actual. We put our obviously your best like four
smart
kids.
Smart enough to be on TV.
Yeah. Well, you don't want to lose on TV. So yeah, I would do the competitions around town. I would go to other schools and compete. Mm-hmm. But they put like our best four kids on.
That's just basically trivia, right?
No, because it was like, well, kind of, but it was more geared
towards... It's just school trivia.
But you're a senior in high school, so it's like you're being tested on a certain war and the time frames of that war in this category. And kind of like Jeopardy, but
it's just school-based trivia.
Yeah.
They had their smartest four kids. You just came in fifth.
Correct.
Just missed it.
Just missed it. Nerd alert! Nerd alert! The grass stains on my knees were for a different reason, Ellen. That was related to cheerleading.
Behind the bleachers. Man,
all right. To all our men and women in uniform.
I've been a lifelong fan, 20 years of military, come back, and the Find Your Afternoon show is f***ing horrible.
Thanks. From the Alan Cox Show.
Horrible.
On 100.7 WMMS.
Never before have I turned on you when you look too good to me. The beady eyes that you cut me in two, and I just can't let you be. But it's a free for all, and if I just said, you can bet your life. Stakes are high, and so am I. It's in the air tonight.
You know, it occurs to me with all these amazing tours this summer, Foo Fighters, and Rolling Stones, and Rage Against the Machine, and Korn, and Primus, there is gonna be a lot of F. Trump on stage. Just think about the Rage Against the Machine tour alone, right? And you're saying to yourself, Alan, what if I like my rock and roll a bit more MAGA meathead infused? Ted Nugent's going back out on the road. It's free for all. Best tour ever dates. Yeah, suck it. You know, so that really heady, cerebral kind of rock and roll that you've come to expect from the Motor City Madman. So, you know, you might go, hey, I don't need any of these libtard rock and roll shows. I want to go somewhere where I can wear my red hat with pride. Ted Nugent. Going back out. Doing, I don't know, 15, 16 shows. You'll have to travel to Dayton if you want to see him. Or Detroit. I'm really bummed I'm going to miss Sonic Temple this year, by the way.
You had a wedding?
We got a wedding, yeah, in Norfolk that weekend, so I'm not going to be able to get out there.
You had a lot of weddings.
I do. I got a lot of weddings this year.
What does it mean if I'm not invited to that many weddings?
Well, let me ask you this.
You're like me.
Is it because your friends aren't getting married, or you're not being invited to their weddings?
I think it's because my friends aren't getting married. Most of my friends are comics.
Well, then what weddings would you be invited to if they're not happening? You're getting mad that you're not being invited to non-existent weddings?
Well, I just feel like there's so many women that are like, oh, like my age, that are like, oh my God, I had 12 weddings this year. And I'm just like, who are you friends with?
Because they work in an office.
Is that what it is? Like, it's people who like have...
Their job definitely plays a role into it, I think.
Yeah.
And their lifestyle.
I guess. I've been to like 5 weddings in my whole life.
Fortunately, the weddings we're going to this year they're all very good friends of ours. Right. So I'm very pleased to be invited. But boy, usually a wedding you're not invited to, they're giving you a gift.
Yeah.
By not inviting you to their wedding. I've never been somebody who's taken that as an affront.
I guess because I don't know of any wedding I've seen a friend get married and I wasn't invited to and was like upset about.
Have you ever been a bridesmaid?
Once.
Mm-hmm. And how did that go?
Twice. I've been a bridesmaid twice, actually. I lied. One time it was...
Did you get to nail a groomsman or anything like that?
No, I was in my relationship.
You didn't answer my question.
Nailed no groomsmen.
All right.
The one, they were exact opposite brides. One was a girl that I went to college with, that I cheered with and lived with, one of my best friends from college. Hers was like type A bridezilla. You have to wear this dress with these shoes and the, like, she made me
That's
wear.
That's so annoying.
She made me wear clip-on earrings because I didn't have my ears pierced. It wasn't like you don't have your ears pierced, that's cool. She made me order custom-made clip-on earrings to look like all of the other girls' earrings.
And here's the trouble.
They were like $72.
Here's
the
trouble with the
hell is this?
Monetary issues aside, the trouble with bridezillas is that they seemingly lack the self-awareness to realize that because they are that way, they're also that way, I assure you, with their husband.
Mm-hmm.
Which means that will not be their only wedding.
Well, she.
So you think that they would kind of take maybe a little bit of a wider view and go, hey, listen, a lot of people excuse or blame type A personality and just being a jag, right? I consider myself a type A personality. I try to be pretty easy to get along with.
Yeah.
Some people are like, that's the way I am. Right. I'm like, okay, but you're surrounded by other humans who aren't, you know.
And her wedding was the first time I had ever been asked to be a bridesmaid. And it ended up costing me like $2,000 to be in this wedding. Between the dress that we had to get.
$2,000? This was a local wedding?
In Toledo, yeah.
Jesus.
The dress that we had to get was $385. We had to get a specific dress.
Where was the other $1,700?
We had to get a specific dress. The necklace that we had to wear was $97 from Swarovski crystals.
My God.
We had to get a specific pair of Jessica Simpson high heels that were another $140. I had to get those stupid clip-on earrings that were $78. I had to pay for the hotel for three nights.
I would play the poor card.
I was already invested at that point. I didn't know it was going to cost me all this money.
You do it from the beginning. You're like, listen.
I had no idea. I had never been asked to be in a wedding. She's like, you're one of my best friends. I want you to be a bride. Made, will you do it? And I was like, oh my God,
are they still
together?
Yep. Are they
still married?
Though?
Yep. Happy.
See, I don't think that that's a way that you should, even if you don't know what it's going to cost, they know what it's going to cost.
Right.
I don't think that's a good way, that you shouldn't treat your friends that way.
It was unbelievable.
Hey, here's a bill for $2,000.
It ruined the wedding for me. I couldn't even be happy for her after that because we had to pay to get our hair and makeup done.
Did you tell her this?
She had, no.
Can I send her the segment?
No. She had someone come to the house and do our hair. I'm like, I can curl my own hair, but she wanted all the hair to look exactly the same.
This
so the same girl did it.
This is what we
like,
mean when we tell you, you can't have all these best friends.
This was in like 2014.
Too many best friends.
This was right after, you know, we were still close from college. And then my other friend, my actual best friend, Kelsey, who I still talk to, I've known her since.
So you don't talk to that girl anymore?
We talk like once a year. We don't really talk. And it wasn't like a falling out or anything. She lived a different life.
Mm-hmm.
My best friend, Kelsey, she was like, sent us these really cute, like, homemade, like, boxes with, like, a handwritten, will you be my bridesmaid note, like, with a memory of us. And she was like, wear whatever you want. I just ask that your dress is short because my dress is short.
Yeah.
She's like, here's a color palette. Use the inspirations in this box. It's a fall wedding. It's outside. That's basically, I don't care what shoes you wear. I don't care what dress you wear. I don't care how you do your hair. I don't care if you don't do your hair. She goes, you don't even have to take a shower if you don't want to. Like, she was very 100% the opposite way, where she was like, my dress is short. That's
because
your only requirement.
People are so obsessed with the wedding and not the marriage. And that's, I don't understand that at all.
Yeah, Kelsey, they did it at, like, her uncle has a farm in Chesterland. Mm-hmm. So they had it in, like, the barn outside. It was really beautiful, very simple, less than 100 people. Like,
nobody goes into it. Nobody goes into it thinking that they're going to get married again.
Right.
Granted. But still, man, like these.
That first one was in like the ballroom of a Sheraton, so there was like 450 people.
Jeez.
Big round tops. You could get like salmon or filet.
That's
like,
the way my first wedding was.
It was. I was like, this wedding had to have cost her $100,000.
The biggest
like,
wedding
no way.
I've ever emceed was like 500, and I was like, I don't like. I try to count the people in my life. I'm like, even with all my family, all my friends, my radio people, my college friends. There's not 500 people that would show up to this wedding. I could probably could invite 500 people.
Not even with MC Weddings doing the...
No. But like, even if, like, the only way I would get 500 people in a hall is if, like, I went to every single one of my Facebook friends, like, hey, block out, save this date. 500 people at a wedding? No.
I mean, this wedding that we're going to in Jamaica, it's going to cost us about $5,000.
But I'm like, you're going to Jamaica.
And I'm like, and if it were anyone else, we would skip it. But it's like one of her best friends from kindergarten. And, you know, so there's no reason we would not go.
But that's different because I look at that as a you're taking a trip. You're also going to Jamaica. You're
going
to be there for a few days.
She hasn't seen this person since kindergarten. And you're going?
Yeah, since kindergarten, Bill. He called her for the first time in 30-some years and said, I'd like you guys to come to my wedding. Remember?
The Rocks. We played with the Rocks.
Right.
But yeah, that first wedding ruined it for me. I was like, man, this sucks. Like, because I had no other prior experience to it. And then when my best friend Kelsey got married, she was like, oh, I don't care what you do. I was like, this is perfect. This is what I want it to be.
Yeah. Yeah, whatever. Alan, I was in 3 weddings in 6 weeks 20 years ago. All 3 dresses were hunter green. Had to buy shoes for each of them. And one of them was in Las Vegas. Another one was my sister's. I ended up spending several thousand dollars. Yeah, I think if you're going to hand someone a bill, you should try to kind of offset it in other ways.
It ruined it for me.
Just be like, hey, could you know, Jenny knows calligraphy.
Yeah.
Would you mind doing the invitations?
Mm-hmm.
And then I'll buy all this stuff for you.
Right.
Or whatever. I'll buy the dress and I'll, you know. But again, everybody figures this is the one and only time I'm doing it. And if you're one of these psychotic chicks, you go, everything's, they're screaming and they're yelling and, you know.
I always thought that was the wedding that I wanted. Like a big over-the-top princess wedding.
To me, that seems very childish. Like, no disrespect to anybody that has that.
I still want a princess dress, I think.
But it's how every woman is kind of...
programmed.
Programmed from a very early age, and you really kind of can't blame them for hanging on to that.
Like my cousin is getting married in August.
As nostalgic for stupid things as other people are. I can't blame a woman who's like, well, I always kind of wanted a princess thing.
Yeah. You want the big dress and you want all the people and the fancy dinner.
Your dad might have called you princess for all, you know. I've tried to avoid that with my daughters. I'm like, I don't necessarily, if you grab it, what?
Hey, garbage pail kid. Where are you at?
I certainly hope you don't.
Ain't no princess in here.
That's right. I certainly hope if some guy or girl ever agrees to marry you, don't come crying to me. No, but it's like if they gravitate towards something like that, you know, even from a young age, that's one thing. You found it yourself.
Right.
But I'm not going to instill that in you.
Yeah, I mean, my cousin is like tweeting and all over Facebook, like, my wedding is in exactly, you know, 3 months, 14 days, 16 hours.
A lot of people, it's all they have.
Maybe, but like...
Hey, listen, it is exciting and stressful and all those things. But it's like also, it is something that you're asking people to be a part of. So I think if you can get your head around trying to be a normal human being about it,
right?
Then try to be a normal human being about it,
and try to have some connects. Like, don't have people come out of pocket so much. Like, if you know someone who's a friend that DJs, try
yeah. But
to get
at the same time, at the same time, I don't like that because I've been to weddings where they're like, "Oh, this guy that we know is a DJ," and then they cut corners, and you're like. This dude hasn't played anything from the last 30 years. You know what I mean? But they got him on the cheap.
Well, and there's all these
it's
horror.
It's their friend's uncle or something. You know what I mean?
If you
know,
anyone,
know what you're paying for, but yeah.
Anyone who knows a photographer.
That.
Will tell you horror stories about people who were like, we'll give you exposure if you do our wedding for free. They're like, exposure doesn't pay my rent, man. That exposure thing. I certainly hope that.
That's
hope
what
that,
comedy is. That's all of your first 15 years in comedy.
I hope that that has burned itself out with respect to the...
I think it's one of those things where my idea for the marriage contracts
should also be applied to the wedding.
Which
you,
is?
You for
what's the wedding clause?
The wedding clause of the marriage contract is you can only have a wedding that's so big, and then as you make it further into your marriage, you get to have bigger and bigger parties. Kind of like the way your anniversary works. Like, you don't start with your diamond anniversary. You work up to the diamond anniversary.
So if you make it through one 5-year contract, you can opt to have a party at 5 years, or you wait until your next contract's up and have a party at 10?
You can have a party at 5 years, but then you can only have a party that's the same size at 10 years. You can't have a bigger party at 10 years because you used up that build up.
You used up your wedding.
Yeah.
Okay. I kind of like that.
Yeah.
So if you're together 15 years.
Then you'd be like, all right.
Or 25.
I think, yeah. And then like 20 plus, you're like, you can do whatever you want. But like the 5 years.
You rent Hawaii for your 30th.
If you can afford it, yeah.
Yeah.
What are you guys doing? We're renting Hawaii?
What part? All of it.
I really do.
All of it.
Just pick an island, go party.
We've called the consulate. I've PayPal'd them.
I called Hawaii.
Yeah.
I do. Hello, enjoy. Hawaii.
Hey, Dan.
Hey, how's it going, Alan?
What's up, man? How are you?
Oh, not too bad. I was just calling because Mary says she hasn't been to a wedding in a while. I was wondering if she will be my date for this wedding I'm going to this summer.
I'm busy that day.
When is the wedding?
That I am not. I know it's in May, I want to say.
The only May. Is it a Saturday or Friday?
I want to say Saturday.
The only Saturday I have open in May is May 9th. So if it's not that, I can't go.
I'm not exactly sure if it's in May. It could be July.
Dan, he's all over the road now. He's like, I didn't expect it to get this far. Mm-hmm. Questions and dates and calendars. I thought he'd hang up on me.
You could pay me to be your plus one. I'll put that out there for wedding season.
Escort.
I would put that out there for wedding season.
I'll
be your plus one for different tiers.
You know, for all the dumb crap you won't do, you just open up a huge can of worms.
Yeah, you're going to get some ginger in your inbox.
You can pay me to be your plus one to a wedding?
No sex at all. That's not included.
Well, then who is going to pay you to be their plus one?
If you need to go to a cousin's wedding and you're tired of your family asking you questions, there's tiered options. We can be together. Like, we can make up a backstory.
Oh, if you're a beard, you mean?
That's what I'm saying.
Oh, she'll be your beard. Are you a gay man, Dan?
I'm sorry, what was that?
Are you a gay man?
No.
That's no, well, then you're...
No, you I'm not talking about straight guys.
Huh?
I'll be your plus one to any wedding.
A straight guy can find a plus one for free.
No, they can't.
I have a question.
So I'm going to be a gay guy.
Is this per hour, Mary?
What?
Is this per hour or straight cost?
Like, yeah,
straight cost.
Flat rate?
Flat rate.
Flat rate. Ship in a box?
Like, there's different
flat
tiers.
Flat rate, stack date.
So, like, the basic package would just be me being your plus one. We show up together, we dance a little bit, and we leave, right? And then, for the second tier, maybe we create a backstory on how we met, and it's cute, and we've been dating for a few months, but, you know, whatever. And maybe, like, the third one, I'll dance with your grandma or something, and I'll, like, make an impression, you know. We'll figure it out, but this is a good business plan.
Wow.
Whore.
How? I'm not sleeping with anybody.
No, I'm just jealous. I can't do it.
All right, well, thank you, Dan. There's, I guess, something to think about.
I think that's great. For you guys trying to get me to sell my panties, I think that this is a way better...
No, pictures of your feet.
I'll sell my companionship.
We gave up on panties. We said sell pictures of your feet. Couldn't be easier. Now you've jumped from...
I can't charge as much for feet pictures.
You've gone from absolutely dismissing something. It couldn't be simpler. Pictures of your feet, for which there seems to be an inordinate number of paying customers, to I'll be your plus one to a wedding.
Yeah, for a lot of money.
For how much?
Basic rate, $100.
Well, you are $100? Jesus.
You are a whore.
Is that too much?
No, it's too little to be a plus
your
one to
time.
A wedding.
So then help me out here, guys. You guys are my
pimps.
My pimps.
Whatever the market pays for. So yeah, $100.
Well, okay, what would you start it at? Basic, just I meet you there. We don't come together. We don't leave together. I meet you there. We hang out. I'll be your date for the night.
It's a Saturday.
$3.50.
Yeah.
So you got $3.50.
You're right, because I got to cover comedy costs.
$3.50.
Because if you have to cancel a gig,
right?
You don't want to have to cancel a gig, so you need to get paid at least what you would make on a regular Saturday doing comedy.
Or if you think of it this way, if it's in far enough advance, I have to cancel a whole weekend for that.
Right.
And so weddings are like 3-4 hours you know.
And if you have a hotel and stuff like that.
No, there's no after.
And there might be an ice cream bar. You can't have any of that. You don't know what the food situation's going
to
be.
Yeah, if I walk out of my house all dressed up, going to a wedding, $350
And they have to pay for my outfit.
Because even under those circumstances, no, it's going to be platonic. If you were still drinking, a lot of guys in the back of their head would go, well, I'll get a couple of drinks in her, and then maybe she'll... But you're sober, too. Better make it $450 Okay. Better, I mean, $250
$500 to start.
Better make it $250 Platonic and sober. Actually, yeah. $100 it sounds about right.
Yeah. You might want to go back to
that.
Find a
different
date,
dude. $150
$150
The top tier. We'll do an Instagram post. $2,000 You'll be like, look at my girlfriend.
They get to see your bra.
And then I'll let a bra strap out, yeah.
Not a bra strap, like the bra.
Mary's wedding plan is great because the best value is you get a designated driver.
Hey, also that.
Oh, yeah, that's true.
Mary said sex is not included, but can you pay extra for it?
No.
How about hand stuff? All right, it's an extra $200 for hand stuff, but that's
in and the, I'm not doling it out. That guy is
in the photo booth. So while you're holding up an old timey mustache,
you put hand stuff, pound cake, come and take care of this
guy. I'll bring a hand stuff guy for extra.
Tap in.
There's your hand stuff guy in the side studio. Over
Where's
there.
My cut? What do I get?
We'll pay you.
I get a percentage. Yeah,
you get bragging rights. Isn't that what you like? Bragging rights.
You actually get paid more the quicker that you accomplish the goal.
There you go.
Oh, honey.
If you can do it in the photo booth in under 3 minutes, $200
Yeah. This guy was holding up an old-timey mustache, and he yanked him off in 45 seconds.
Before the pictures even took.
That's his kank.
Three.
What color
two,
is that
one.
On the...
A photo booth session.
Yeah. Well, that's robin's egg blue. No, it goes with the rest of the wedding colors. Al, a friend of mine who is a fantastic photographer, did our wedding, but she lost the memory cards. So we don't have any photos from our wedding.
I'd kill her.
Yeah.
That exposure, though.
Yeah, man.
She's like, can you recreate that? I could. It only take like 5 minutes. I just need to take a couple pictures.
Well, part of it, when Gwen and I got married, part of our package, it was two full sessions, except we came back right after. We had to come back right after the weekend of our wedding. So we scheduled the second shoot for a year later.
Oh, yeah, there
so
you go.
So we went back to Chicago.
For, like, your first anniversary.
Got completely the hair, and she got the hair and makeup again, and we got dressed up, so we didn't want to be rushed.
So you could
wedding
take it with
weekend.
The city.
Yeah,
oh,
yeah.
That's amazing.
Yeah, it was cool.
That's a great idea, too.
And everybody that day, because we weren't encumbered by a wedding party or anything, we were just, you know, whatever, around the city, and people obviously thought we had just gotten married.
Oh, you're getting free drinks.
So there's all these people coming up to us. And, by the way, congratulations to Cleveland's own Bone Thugs and Harmony, many of whom we've had on this show. I think we've had, I don't think we've had all four of them on. I know Flesh and Bone was in here a lot long ago. We've had Crazy Bone in here. I don't think we've ever had Wishbone in.
The dog?
I feel like we've had Lazy Bone in. Flesh and Bone was in not long, like a year ago.
Yeah, like a year or so ago.
The
yeah.
last one of these guys that came through. And, boy, I thought this was a goof, but they're right on. They have changed the name of the band as part of a marketing campaign for Buffalo Wild Wings.
What they changed the name to?
Bill, I'm going to tell you. Okay. They're now Boneless Thugs in Harmony.
What?
Yeah. Boneless Thugs in Harmony.
It's like a BW3 commercial.
B-dubs. They are, well, I'm going to play this for you, because there's Descent Within the Ranks.
It's not BW3 anymore, it's Buffalo Wild Wings.
Oh, I forgot.
They're going to be selling merch, Boneless Thugs in Harmony t-shirts and hats and a golden boneless chicken chain. And not everybody's excited about it, though.
For 25 years, Bone Thugs in Harmony have continually reinvented rap. But today, a name change threatens to tear the group apart.
This is not an argument. We boneless, not check this out. Ain't no doubt about that.
A new love for boneless wings led to a new name.
We need to be Boneless Thugs now. Bottom line. I'm not gonna lie, but I like boneless wings, man. Whatever, it is what it is. Boneless wings, what?
But not everyone was on board.
I ain't changing shit.
Oh, lazy bone.
That's funny.
Nobody can bend you to their whims.
I bet he comes around.
You think?
Yeah.
Boy, I hope they tell us. I'm on the edge of my
seat.
Wait,
is that the end of this?
No. Okay. Oh. Stopped it so I could laugh.
Mm-hmm. Bone Thugs and Harmony changes their name to Boneless. It's preposterous.
But the groups, it's always majority rules.
Always.
So right now, it's 3-1.
I said I'm not changing.
You're changing the name.
Sometimes lazy change bone. Is good. Growth is good, Lay.
Well, Lazy Bone has his opinion. We all have.
Lay. Next time he comes in here, I go, Lay. What up, Lay?
Lazy Boneless.
Yeah.
I ain't doing shit.
Just try the boneless wings, Lazy. The group.
Just try the boneless wings. I like how the story of this, the way he set it up. This, because you got no story if all four of them go, yeah, cool, let's do it.
Yeah.
You got to have one guy who's hanging out going, nope, I'm not feeling this. And that's Lazy Bone.
He's lazy about it.
Extended a sauce-covered olive branch towards Lazy.
I mean, they actually pretty good, but they don't have no bones.
They boneless, baby.
They ain't changed your name good.
Damn.
Despite Lazy's misgivings, the name change took off.
Dipped boneless wing.
Dipped
in gold. Boneless still rhymes with bone. Boneless is cloneless. I'm trying to keep up with the bones. It's Jones. It's boneless.
A few letters we change in it. It's not going to change the heart of where we come from or what we about or what we talk about. It's going to still be bone. Just less. We boneless only. We boneless only.
This is one of the greatest things I've ever done.
Yeah, this is amazing.
Now it's boneless.
How many wings can you get for
1999?
Will the name change stick? Will the new Buffalo Wild Wings boneless wings be the end of the Bone Thugs? Only time will tell.
I mean, imagine you're the guy who works for Buffalo Wild Wings. You're like their chief marketing officer or whatever it is. And somebody goes, what are we going to do in Q2? And they go, boy, I don't know. How are we going to get people out there talking about boneless wings? Boneless wings. You know, it's like any other meeting. You're sitting around a table going, boneless wings.
Boneless.
What about Bone Thugs and Harmony?
Well, Buffalo Wild Wings is actually pretty woke. I think one of their biggest shareholders is Rick Ross. He owns a lot of the franchise.
Why does that mean they're woke?
Well, he's a hip-hop rapper.
Woke. Well, Rick Ross? That just means he sees a marketing opportunity.
Yeah, that is the most woke way to say rapper, or he's in hip-hop. Hip-hop rapper.
I'm just saying.
You know who isn't woke?
Buffalo Wild Wings.
Bill Squire.
Bill Squire's amazing.
One of the funniest f***ing guys ever.
He's not woke at all.
Nor are you a hip-hop rapper, Bill.
I'm not a hip-hop rapper.
I'm just saying he can put in his hip-hop influence. That's all.
That's why Rick Ross is just that's the sound you make when you eat too many boneless wings. You're just like, huh. Same Rick Ross song. Doesn't he make that noise? Huh. Is that him?
I don't listen to hip-hop rappers that much.
He's just like, huh. Like after everything he raps?
I couldn't get the rapper off that hip-hop. It took me so long, I finally gave up. These damn hip-hop rappers are too hard to get off.
You got hip-hop in my rapper. Rapper in my hip-hop.
Two great tastes that taste great together. I'm not a wings guy.
Mm-hmm. I love wings.
I do too.
Well, because they seem labor intensive. But
I mean, boneless wings aren't wings; they're just chicken nuggets.
Yes,
but
I enjoy that.
It does bother me when people call them like, "Oh, boneless wings." I'm like, no.
Okay. Well, then to your point, I don't care for wings, but the boneless wings, I guess, because I don't mind nuggets of pressed chicken. I guess
chicken nuggets.
I would be more
nuggets of pressed.
It's like a Tolkien book.
That should be a restaurant.
Nuggets of pressed chicken.
Nuggets of pressed chicken. Welcome to NOPC. Tonight...
It sounds like it's on like a... I can't talk today. Like a gastropub menu.
There you
Nuggets
go.
Nuggets of pressed chicken.
Nuggets of pressed chicken.
Gastronomical gastropub.
Gastronomical. Yeah, right.
Like a nice tomato-based... You mean ketchup.
By the way, because I did break his balls earlier in the show over the pound cake glossary, gastronomical is, in fact, a word, just not the way he used it or meant it.
Got it.
So for the grammar nerds like myself, I did want to throw that out there. It is not a made-up word. It's just he wasn't using it.
What's the correct definition?
Authenticality is a made-up
word.
Warbury, made up. One fatal swoop, made up. But again, you're not alone in these things either.
I don't even know the last time I had
boneless wings. I'm on Staten Island all by myself.
Last time you had chicken nuggets?
Pressed chicken. Boneless ones,
yeah. Nuggets of pressed chicken.
Nuggets of pressed chicken.
Yes.
No, I don't know. It's been a long time.
Paired with a 95 Merlot. Nuggets of pressed chicken.
I never had
a delicious
like that much beat-ups until I moved into the house that I live now. My roommates love it, and I always know when it's
game day. Is there one like right by or something?
No, that's just like their go-to meal when there's a game on. So I know exactly what time the game is playing because I can smell like the wings from upstairs. And I'm like, uh-oh, it's like Browns game or whatever game they're watching. And they always have like a group of people downstairs. I'm like, damn it, it's always Buffalo Wild Wings. I never thought it was like that great, but okay. It's the go-to game food.
Go-to!
It was a big thing for us in high school. We would all go up on Wednesday.
Yeah, we go on a Buffalo Wild Wing and watch wrestling pay-per-views.
They always hated us.
Oh, yeah.
Because we were there for 4 hours and we all were in high school.
You took exactly $20 and you ordered $19.50 worth of food. That's exactly what happened.
I was still good about tipping back then, but I would still be there for 4 hours and eat, you know, $10 worth of food.
A meal.
Yeah. You're not drinking. So you're just getting free refills from the machine.
Yeah. Well, I remember it was BW3 or whatever it was early on. I remember that was like when I lived in Kalamazoo, Michigan. I feel like one of the first ones was there. But then somebody told me it started at Kent State. Guy who started B-Dubs was a Kent State guy or something. Because they started out in Ohio and Indiana. Anyway, the last time I went to one, there was a piece of a wire brush in my daughter's salad.
How did it taste?
She didn't swallow it.
Hey.
But I know what she tasted.
But I made a fuss.
I made a fuss.
I didn't make a stink, but I made a fuss.
There was a screw in a piece of pizza what my nephew bit into, or I bit into it and pulled it out, and I looked at it, and my nephew was like, what is that? And it was like a screw, like a part of machinery.
I'll tell you what that is. That's a free dinner.
And they comped our whole everything. I was like, yeah,
they comped your hole. Yeah.
They comped my hole.
6 o'clock. I would, a friend of ours had something like that happen, but he bit down into it, and he got a nice settlement.
Oh, so yeah. Next time, break a tooth.
Bite harder.
And it was so hard and uncomfortable. Already? That's only two segments ago. And it was so hard and uncomfortable.
One segment ago, thank you very much. Respect the process.
Sorry.
Yeah, but I mean, again, if they're comping your hole, I can't top that.
No.
Is that something you're going to throw in for the wedding date?
What, comp the hole?
I will comp the hole. How about that?
Yeah, it depends. Well, if you get the highest package, the hole is comped.
Is it limited to weddings? Because I got people hitting me up about pig roasts and bat mitzvahs and kinds of...
Sure,
all right.
Mary's dating service.
Okay.
You can make a lot more money doing that than doing comedy.
I know. I have a girl messaging me right now about feet pics. She's like, dude, just do it. Like, why? She's like, I make so much money. I'm like, all right, fine.
Huh. All right, well, there you go. The girlfriend experience, as it were.
Yeah.
Rick Ross, part of Wingstop, not Buffalo Wild Wings.
Oh, okay, well, I'm stupid.
You got the wrong hip-hop rappers, Pound Cake.
No, right rapper, wrong restaurant.
Wrong wings.
Where is there a Wingstop around here?
I don't know.
There's not one in Macedonia or something.
I don't even think I heard of Wingstop before.
Yeah, I've heard of Wingstop. I just don't know anybody.
They're
that
nationwide,
goes there.
But I just don't think they're prevalent in Northeast Ohio.
Brooklyn, Parma, Cleveland. Yeah, they're all over.
Okay, there you go.
Wow.
All right.
And they're all over. I don't know anybody that goes there.
Tell your gays to get some Wingstop. No, change up the game.
They're brand loyal.
They're brand loyal to Wild Wings?
Yes.
I like Buffalo Wild Wings, but like...
That's how I know people are over the house. If I'm taking a nap and I wake up and I smell like wing sauce...
You guys live in West Park. There's good wings over there.
They like beat-ups.
Man.
Where are the good wings, Bill? Give them a shout.
You got nothing.
Trying to think.
Dude, West Park Station?
Wingless McGee.
All right.
I would just go to the local places more than the chains.
So. Alan, we just got a settlement from Chipotle. My wife bit into a silica pack inside her burrito. Oh, yeah. Like when you get those, everybody has a silica package.
Can't you read? It says, do not eat.
Right.
Yeah. How's that on Chipotle? It says right on the pack, do not eat.
That to me, and I'll take them at
Keep
their word.
Keep your burrito dry.
But that, I didn't ask for a wet burrito. I put some silica gel in. That strikes me as one of those things that like you could carry around in your pocket and then put in the burrito.
But then you still have to bite into it and get yourself sick.
Yeah, but if you get a settlement for $20,000,
you also can't put that into a burrito. You'd have to unwrap and I guess maybe if you take the picture from home, you'd have to like unwrap your burrito, put it in the middle, rewrap it, eat it halfway through.
How hard is that?
It sounds like Chipotle's paying out settlements.
You couldn't do that in the store. Yeah. That's something you could
figure
do from
out
home.
A way to do it in
they
the store.
They would see you.
How? They're barely paying attention to the food they're making, let alone what people are doing over at the table.
If they have cameras, too.
If there wasn't... Yeah, that might have been a thing, too. There is probably something that proved that it was in the burrito when it was made.
Yeah.
Hmm.
So.
Yeah, I found that screw in the pizza, and it was like a couple $100 because I was at a birthday party. They comped everything.
Hmm. Alan, tell Mary I used to be an escort manager, and we can make her $100K a year.
Do I have to report it?
Well, she didn't want to take the pay cut from this show.
Obviously. How do you report that if you are, like, an escort? You're not
a
prostitute.
You don't.
You don't pay taxes on that.
Cash business,
but I'm saying you're not a prostitute, so what's the illegal part?
You are a prostitute.
You are. Same thing.
How? If you're not... The prostitute means sex.
Yes, that's what escorts usually mean. It's very rare that an escort is like, oh, I just go with you to places, wink, wink. That's how they do it legally. They're like,
that's what I'm
there's
saying.
No sex.
So what would you call it?
Like, well, then why do people care how hot they are if there's no sex?
Because
they need to
candy.
Show you off at your event.
Yeah, please.
Like, I can't believe
your high school reunion. Look who I'm dating.
Don
but everybody,
got that guy.
Right, except nobody believes that. Because
right.
Don's a dick. They're like, oh, he's paying for it. Everybody says that. Right?
Yeah.
When I show up to a reunion with somebody, they go, oh, she's paying for that.
I look normal enough that nobody would think that you'd pay for me. You know what I mean?
You do.
I'm approachably hot enough that they're like, oh, they could have met at the bank.
Right.
Like,
are you an escort? No, look at me. Come
look at this. I eat yogurt.
But I would win the Bachelor.
I would. They need a realistic Bachelor. Bachelorette, whatever.
Alan,
my
drunk friend called Taco Bell after he found a tooth in his taco.
Turns out it's his.
He hung up when he realized it was his own tooth.
Yeah, oh, God. My God.
Black Mirror, that one.
Yeah, he did.
Twist on a twist.
How gross.
Yeah. Wingstop is Pizza Hut. No, that's Wing Street.
Yep.
Pizza Hut is Wing Street. And to the best of my knowledge, they have yet to secure their own hip-hop rapper for their marketing.
Pizza Hut Wing Street?
And you can't do Pop Smoke anymore. He got killed.
Yeah.
He was on the come up, 20 years old.
If only Taco Bell had a spokesperson like me.
Tea Kettle Taco Bell.
Tea Kettle.
They're doing okay.
They had a pound cake endorsing them.
Mm. What would your commercial sound like?
Tea Kettle Taco Bell. I mean, it would catch on.
Hit us with your best commercial.
Hey, guys. It's me.
No, let me get you some music here. Hold on.
It's got to be Taco Bell music. Something like light and happy. Sure.
Hey guys, it's Pound Cake, and do you love Taco Bell like I love Taco Bell? Do you tea kettle Taco Bell? Because I love my Crunchwrap Supreme with no sour cream, no tomato, and I just said my order, so please, man behind the camera, get my order. Go to your local Taco Bell joint today! I don't
now
know
do
why
it.
I think
now,
hands.
Okay, wait, now
I can't
do
say
it
made me hungry, but it made me pay attention.
Now do it British.
I don't think they want
on,
you to
stop.
Say...
Come on, British.
What
taco.
You don't want on your taco at Taco Bell.
Do it British.
Right. That doesn't reflect poorly on the restaurant.
Right.
Hello, everyone. It is Pound Cake here. And I can't even
don't
get
have
it.
Such a
you're
fatal.
Doing good. You're doing good. That was a good one.
Don't come eat on. Glass half empty. You can do this.
Blimey.
Hello, everyone. Pound Cake here. With, do you love Taco Bell as much as I love Taco Bell? Do you tiquero Taco Bell?
I mean, the tiquero makes more
what's
sense.
What's your order? Yeah.
Do you love a Crunchwrap Supreme with no sour cream, no tomato like I do? Man behind the camera, now that you know my order, hop to it. Hit up your local Taco Bell joint today. Today or today.
It'll only cost you £1 cake. Huh. All right, well, there you go.
Tea kettle.
I assume the exchange rate is something that is not going to be favorable to us. All right, so there's a British Pound Cakes Taco Bell commercial. Send that off as part of your sizzle reel.
Oh, it's sizzling, all right.
Yeah. Alan, I found a fingernail while chewing a payday candy
come
bar.
On.
You're lying. You're lying. I don't believe you. Where's
yeah,
your
nobody eats payday candy bars.
Dude, I love payday.
I like payday, too.
I
couldn't tell you the last time I had one, but I'm not opposed to them in theory.
Payday.
I like anything with caramel, caramel,
finds a
whatever.
Finger in their...
Fingernail.
I thought he said finger.
He said fingernail.
Fingernail.
Oh, that's possible.
Alan, that improvised spot by Pancake was better than the real one he did when he froze up. Oh, yeah, I forgot about that.
I tried to as well.
That one.
He crapped the bed when he had his live read.
It was my very first one.
His first one.
It was your only one, too, wasn't it?
No, it wasn't. I got like a bunch after that.
I always think I'd be good at those, and then I'm like, I bet not. I would try one, but I don't know if I could do it.
When Alan cracks the mic and you just hear silence,
something happens to you.
It's terrifying. I bet it is.
You do a Taco Bell commercial.
Wait, give me something to read.
Pancake just did it off the top of his head. Just say the same thing he said.
Okay. Well, that's different than doing a live read. That's different than having a script in your hand that you have to read off.
Mary, it was terrible. Like, I was on the last line. I was through the entire commercial. It was 30 seconds. I couldn't get through 30 seconds. Like, I was on the very last line, and it was like, come to...
He was almost, he was just almost to the finish line.
Terrible.
What was it for?
Bob Evans. That's what it was for.
Bob Evans.
Bob Evans, yep.
He couldn't say down on the farm? What was it?
No, it was something like, stop into your local Bob Evans today.
Well, yeah, and he's probably never eaten there in his life. So he's doing a live read for something he's probably the first time he'd ever heard of it when he's looking at the paper. When?
I've been to Bob Evans, like, just casually. I don't need an appointment to go.
When have you casually gone to Bob Evans?
In college, all the time.
Oh, well, yeah, I mean, in college, and you weren't in college when you did the library, were you?
No, but it didn't matter. I wish I was back in college to learn how to do one.
Yeah.
Oh, my God, no. Yeah, that was one of the worst experiences of my life. I was quiet like the rest of the show. That's how how everyone knows I'm upset, is when I'm just not saying a word, just looking at the computer.
I've only done a handful of like the recorded spots, but even those, because like if you fumble something, you just go back and redo it.
It's not the same. Yeah, There's nothing like live. And you have that time slot where you got to fill. I mean, Alan can hit it early.
I'm nervous for you.
By the way, a lot of people are pointing out that Jamaica was part of the British Empire. So, in Poundcake's defense, if he's going back and forth, it is historically rooted, I think. There's a case to be made for whatever the hell he's doing with his voice.
Taco Bell.
He's going to sweep out your chimney.
How do we races? We have three different races at the same time.
Yeah. Like Chitty Chitty Bang Bang is landing on your roof all of a sudden.
We pissed off Jamaicans, Mexicans, and British people all at the same time.
That's you.
No,
yeah,
you
that's you.
We into it.
Who's this we, white man?
We are a unit.
Since when?
What do you mean?
You'd abandon us in the second, pointing fingers.
Yeah.
Kettle Taco Bell. Speak Kettle Taco Bell.
All of a sudden, we're a unit when he's on the hook.
We are a unit. Yeah. We're in this together.
And I found a bone in my McFish. I don't think they're called that. I think they're called Filet-O-Fish.
A McFish.
Hey, excuse me. I found something in my McFish.
We started watching
that McMillions documentary on HBO, by the way. It's fascinating.
It?
No, about how the Monopoly game was a scam.
Yeah.
Yep. It's fascinating. It's so bananas.
Yep.
All right, let me...
Martin Malloy's sister... Oh, I probably shouldn't even say this.
We already started.
A person I know's sister was kind of involved in that.
Really?
Yeah.
Kind of involved means involved.
Yeah, yeah.
In the McDonald's Monopoly scam years ago. I remember reading the article at the time in Esquire years ago, and it was fascinating.
Like,
and now they made
like,
a documentary on it.
Like, workers were stealing...
I think she worked for the company when it happened, so she knows a lot.
There was a guy...
It was like workers were stealing the cups so they could have the
No, there was a guy... There was
something?
A guy on the inside of the marketing firm who was disseminating winning... He would grab them before they'd even go out, and he was disseminating... The FBI figured out that... a bunch of these million-dollar winners were related. Like, there was one guy who was married to the sister. So that was their first bit of connective tissue there. But it's a wild story.
And now I must leave you as the Brady Bunch is on, and I find four of those children incredibly arousing. Get out of here.
Be careful of what you say. Be careful in every way. Be careful of what you do. Big Brother is watching you. Be circumspect and discreet. Stay light on your mental feet. One slip and you know you're through. Big Brother is watching you. Conform with all directives. Remember, obedience pays. And when you watch that TV screen,
train. Remember, it works both ways. You'll disappear in a wink. Unless you can double think, you'll vanish into the blue. Big Brother is watching you.